Right. Hello and welcome to A City on Fire commentary for Enter the Dragon. I'm the Jizzer, and I'm with...
MPM, man.
Right, exactly. Right. So basically, when was the first time you've seen Enter the Dragon? I mean, it was the first Bruce Lee film I've seen when I was about 13. Basically blew us away.
Actually, Big Boss was the first Bruce Lee movie.
Really?
I didn't see Enter the Dragon until... Geez, I don't know, man. But I remember actually renting the video before seeing it on TV.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. Because basically, I don't know what it was like in America, but in Britain, Bruce Lee was like a household name anyway, even before anyone had seen any of his films sort of thing. You know what I mean? I mean, you didn't need to see a film to know who Bruce Lee was. You know what I mean? It's just,
like I say,
a household name. So I remember when it first came on TV, so it was on really late, and I remember everyone was like, there was a big buzz at school. Everyone was saying, oh, hey, Enter the Dragon's on TV. And I was like, what's that? Is that a Bruce Lee film? Oh, yeah, it's class, Sam. My brother said it was really good, blah. So there was a big buzz sort of regarding watching it, and then I remember, like, watched it, and it's like, next day at school, everyone was like, man, how cool is this? And he's going on battering everyone over the head with bits of stick, like nunchucks and stuff. Anyway,
we're
in the opening fight here, right? So basically, who is Bruce Lee fighting there? Can you tell me?
Oh, Sammo Hung, man.
Exactly.
All the way.
Well,
Sammo Hung. Very young, slim Sammo Hung.
Exactly. And can you believe that does not get mentioned on the fucking Paul Heller commentary track? He doesn't mention Sammo Hung's fighting him.
Sammo Hung does. I mean, this is not mentioned. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. We've outdone that commentary in the first 2 minutes. Anyway,
That's why we're doing our commentary, man, because
we think that. Right, I've just seen him do a backflip there, and that was actually... Oh, no, that's not that one. Remember when I first read about this Bruce Lee being stunt doubled? Just like when you're getting the Bruce Lee world, it's like, all right, you stunt doubled for the flip. And I remember seeing a flip in the fight scenes, in the opening fight scenes, and I always assumed it was... You know, when he gets punched and he goes into a back handspring, what I've just seen, and he springs up punching. I assumed it was that one at first, but, like, if you pause it, you can kind of... I think it is Bruce Lee. I mean, the flip that they all refer to is the one.
Oh yeah, they did a good job with the body double.
Exactly.
It was Yuen Hua that did it, right?
Yeah, Yuen Hua.
That guy is actually built. His body looks like. I mean, he's actually built like Bruce Lee.
Pretty much.
Physical,
so.
You know. Yeah. He's got that whole scrawny thing going on, just like.
Have you seen Eastern Condors? Is that the body in that? Any?
Yeah. Eastern Condors and Dragons Forever.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway,
Anyway,
he's Yuen Hua, and he's up, and he's landed, and he's off. Right. Okay. Now here we go with a fucking monk scene. Now, what
yeah. You know what? I'm still not too crazy about this.
Neither am I. I mean, I must admit, I'm glad it's set as a chapter on the DVD, so you can skip it. You know what I mean? Because, even, like, it's not so much because John Little did the fucking voice, despite them being like, there was actually...
Oh, jeez. Exactly. This whole conversation actually exists.
I know, I've heard it. I've got it on fucking...
And there was no reason why they couldn't use it, because it was clear enough. I mean, with today's technology, they could make it all new again.
Exactly, but I think it was smart.
You know, John Little had to put his voice in here.
Yeah, but I'm not going to get a big diss about John Little, because I've got no fucking problems with the guy. I mean, like, we don't even want to do all the fucking, like, shit you stopped on the Temple of the Unknown of John Little. Anyway, so yeah, there's this monk scene here, basically, and I'm in that.
It's good they put it in. I mean, if they didn't put it in, then we'd be complaining either way. You know, why didn't they put it in? So
exactly.
But it does. It just takes the whole flow out of it. Just takes the whole flow out of the whole.
That's what I mean. But do you think that's because we're so familiar with it without it, or do you think that's because it just slows it down? Because I mean, it was originally chucked out because they thought it slowed the pace down. But I mean,
the beginning of Enter the Dragon, it was more like the beginning of a James Bond movie. How they always have the intros, and this one just kind of blows it off, man.
Well, actually, did you read that the original intro was never going to be a big fight scene? The one we were just seeing with Sammo.
Exactly. That was the last.
That's the last fight scene film. You ever filmed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it was
everything was done. Yeah.
Yeah.
It opened with the credits, and then Bruce Lee was like, you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah. James Bond movies were actually an inspiration, since all the James Bond movies had like a 15-minute, pre-opening sequence. And that's what he wanted to do
the original script.
I mean, this whole movie is just, it's like a homage to like James Bond movies in a way.
It's Dr. No, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly, there you go.
Exactly. Anyway, the opening scene that was originally going to be, it was supposed to be like, the character, I forgot the guy's name, another guy who plays Braithwaite, this character is originally supposed to travel on, like, on the back of a donkey or whatever, up at this, like, massive Shaolin temple.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he's supposed to get, he gets there, and Bruce Lee's, like, meditating, like, down near a pool sort of thing. It's, like, kind of like a sort of a kung fu type, you know, like, cane.
Yeah, like,
a
really spiritual, exactly.
That was the original sort of opening, but I think it's like a lot in the script.
Thank God.
Anyway.
Wonder if it was actually filmed.
Sorry?
Wonder if it was actually filmed.
I don't think so. It was thrown out the script stage, otherwise, is it? Because that's what I was thinking. They always say, like, this was the last Bruce Lee fight he filmed to tack on the beginning, but it must have been sort of scripted in some respect, because obviously it was shot the same time as the monk scene and everything else, I assume. Because, I mean, otherwise it'd have been thrown out at an early stage, because originally, when they were filming stuff, because they went around and they filmed all that, because the original opening, that, not in the script, but the original opening that started filming was where the messenger goes around and delivers the invitations. That's what, if you've got the Enter Dragon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what I read. Yeah, it was like best of the best. It was like best of the best.
It was because they didn't, because Bruce Lee was so nervous about dying in the film that he couldn't he kept not turning up stuff. So while they were they was shooting around all the scenes where they didn't need Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're back in.
A little footnote about Roy Chow. He recently passed away a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
He was also in Protector, Indiana Jones.
Game of Death,
and Dragon. Dragon's Forever. He was in it.
Crap. Oh, yeah, exactly. Cool guy. I'll nick some of the stuff. But Logan says on Game of Death 2 thing, but he's apparently he's a big Christian and all this sort of stuff. Anyway, bringing the Braithwaite thing with the Mr. T. That's Bruce Lee's dad who actually arrives with the tea. Later on in the scene where you see him, where he's saying I must tell you a story about your sister. I didn't know that. Well, that's his dad who hands the tea over, but I don't know whether he's actually playing his dad. Because it just seems a bit bullshit that his dad sort of turns up with some tea for them and he doesn't, recognise him as his dad. I mean, he expects him to say, all right, Miss Braithwaite, this is my dad. No, he doesn't, he looks like another, minion or a slave or something. Anyway.
Exactly. Oh, here's Stephen Tung.
Yeah, this is the guy.
The little Bruce Lee student. This guy,
Hard-boiled.
He's a Hong Kong, he's a Hong Kong movie director now.
Yeah, he's in Hard Boiled, isn't he? He plays the guy who...
Is he in Hard Boiled?
He's the guy who plays the stool pigeon. The guy who basically...
Oh, gosh, you lost, guys. Dude, I haven't seen Hard Boiled in forever.
I'm
not a big fan of that movie anyway.
Yeah, I know, we won't go into that. He's the guy who gets, when Tony Leung shoots... Tony Leung puts an thing in his pocket, and he shoots the lighter, and it doesn't kill him. He's called Alan, I think.
I didn't know that. I didn't know he was in Hard Boiled. I do know for a fact that he makes Hong Kong movies now, and he directed that Jet Li Hitman.
Yeah.
Jet Li's Hitman.
Right, and I knew he was a director, but I didn't know which films he directed. But he was in the thing. Anyway.
That's amazing. He was probably 15 in this movie?
Yeah, must have
14, been. 15?
Yeah. How old were you when you first seen this then? Because I was about 15 when I first watched Enter Dragon.
Oh, gosh, man. I don't know, man, but my first memory of any Bruce Lee film was Big Boss, that's all I know, and that was about, I'd say about 10.
Yeah, there was a lot of people on the, I'm seeing Bentley so long for ages, but he was about, 2 or something when he first seen Big Boss.
Oh, Bentley, dude, Bentley was a fetus watching this movie.
That's what I mean, that's what I can't get over, because it's unbelievable.
this guy's he's 12 or something, right?
That's what I'm saying, because that
way... he knows a lot about it, though, man.
Yeah,
he did his research.
That's exactly...
We shouldn't be mentioning him here, since he never stops by no more.
Exactly, the bastard. He can't bother registering, you know what I mean? He must be a new forum, go to post, and he's like, I can't be asked registered.
Dude, he's too busy filming Game of Death 2003 or whatever, you know?
Well, you exactly know me anyway. Anyway, Bentley, if you hear this, where the fuck are you? Right.
Yeah, but what do you think about this scene right here, the whole student-teacher thing?
It's really good, but the thing is, it's being parodied to death. Not, obviously, in Kentucky Fried Movie, but I mean, in just
other
things in general, you know what I mean? It's just, unbelievable sort of, you know what I mean? But it's all good. I mean, the thing is, I'm sort of so close to this movie, because I've sort of seen it, you know what I mean, at least sort of 10 times a year since the age of 15, and
you
can't really sort of comment.
The thing with Bruce Lee movies, you never get sick of them, man.
Yeah, exactly.
They just got that certain thing about them, you know. It's not like a Jet Li or a Jackie Chan movie where you can only watch them so many times.
Yeah.
Bruce Lee movies, you almost find something new every time. No matter how basic it is.
I think one of the reasons for that is there's so few of them. I mean, there's only four and a half films, isn't there? Jackie Chan is a million, you know what I mean? It's more fucking low-wide films. Jackie Chan than these of just stuff, you know what I mean? So
these opening credits are really they're really insightful, man. They show the whole Hong Kong thing and introduce all the characters coming out. I think it's really well done, I mean, especially for a Robert Klaus movie. If you've seen Robert Klaus' other work, dude,
what's the one he made prior to this? Darker than Amber or something?
I've never seen that before. That's one of the ones I wanted to see. I heard it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, because Bruce Lee'd seen that and he was quite impressed by it.
Yeah, that's what Robert Klaus says, but I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
Robert Klaus claims a lot of things. I mean, I don't know, who knows? I mean,
I'm just looking at Jimmy.
But yeah, I wanted to see that, dude. I saw it on video. Have you seen the video cover for Darker Than Amber?
I hadn't even heard of it, I've never seen anything about it.
It's totally brutal. On the cover, there's like a guy and a girl, and the guy's like standing there ready to fight, and he's like all bloody, dude. He's like totally bloody.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because when I read about it, I didn't realize it was actually like, well, it's not a martial arts film, but I mean, I didn't realize it was like a fight scene and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, Rod Taylor, the guy who's in The Birds, I think he's an Australian guy.
Yeah, he was in, wasn't he in Time Machine?
Yeah, that's the guy.
And you know what, he was also supposed to play Roper's part in this movie.
Yeah,
I guess he was too tall or something.
You gotta love Roper with all these fucking suitcases, are you?
Yeah.
Also, you should have mentioned, right, but Jim Kelly's just the coolest motherfucker. I swear to God, all the gear he wears in
it. Jim Kelly's a bomb in this movie.
Too fucking right, man. Anyway.
He had a huge following after this, man. He made a couple movies more with Robert Klaus, Black Belt Jones, and Hot Potato, dude.
Why is it called...
Raven's favorite movie,
Why is it called Hot Potato? That's what I want to know.
I have no... Have you seen it?
I haven't. I've not seen any of Jim Kelly.
Oh, dude. Oh, yeah. Black Belt Jones is okay, but Hot Potato, it's almost unwatchable, man.
Right, yeah.
not even for a good time, man. It's unwatchable, dude.
Right.
I want to point out something here, man. A lot of people don't know about this. I don't know. You might know about it, man, because you're a pro, dude. But
right.
It's going to be coming up... Okay, this guy right here hitting him.
I'm hitting him
with a stick.
Right, yeah, you're slightly ahead of me there, but nevertheless.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, the guy that was hitting it, the guy with the mustache. Okay, you know who that guy is?
I don't know.
Okay, he's the guy from American Ninja, the bad guy ninja.
Right, that's why I don't know him.
His name's Tadashi Yamashita, man. He was like a Japanese martial arts guy that just never made it.
All right, yeah.
But I never realized he was in this movie until just like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's... No one knows about him, so...
Well, that's
only I would know something stupid like that.
Exactly, American Ninja, man. You get it.
Yeah, I know.
A bit low budget there.
American Ninja. Yeah, definitely low budget, man.
Yeah. I don't know who played Braithwaite, but I heard he died shortly after the film was actually made. I think he was a British... He worked in British...
Oh, Braithwaite. Braithwaite, you mean?
Yeah, he worked in a British...
Oh, I thought you were talking about that. Okay.
Oh, no.
And he died, really?
Yeah, I remember reading in an Impact magazine a while, ages ago, but I'm very fuzzy on the thing, but I think he did... No, I mean, otherwise he would have been doing interviews now, like he'd be on all the fucking Hong Kong Legends stuff that he'd be doing, the guy, you know what I mean? But I mean, I think he did, he had a heart attack or something. Like,
oh, really? Well, damn, he looks like he's about 70 in this movie, so.
Not quite, but
anyway. So it makes sense, man.
Yeah.
And he's drinking, it's probably real booze he's drinking too, so that doesn't help.
Yeah.
Yeah, this stuff, a lot of this stuff was really well done, man, like these, you know, these autopsy scenes. It gives you that whole documentary feel. I mean, it's pretty good.
Yeah, have you seen the spoof of this in Kentucky Fried Movie?
You know, I haven't seen Kentucky Fried Movie in like 10 years. I mean, I remember most of it, but not, a lot of it.
I've literally only watched it about 10 days ago for the first time. So
oh, really?
So it's fresh in my mind when I'm watching all this stuff.
That's crazy what an impact, they actually put, the End of the Dragon spoof is like the biggest spoof in Kentucky Fried Movie.
I think
the impact of this movie has, you know,
yeah,
even on a comedy.
Yeah, well, I think to be fair, they probably wanted to do the whole movie as a spoof to End of the Dragon, but then they ran out of ideas at about like 40 minutes, so I thought, right, we need to plan this out with other skits and stuff, and basically filled it all in with that. But, I mean, it's a spot-on spoof. I mean, it's a bit too, sort of, I mean, I love End of the Dragon a bit too closely to appreciate the spoof of it, but I mean, it was very well done.
Uh-huh. Yeah, tell me this is not James Bond, dude. You know, Bruce Lee with a suit.
Exactly.
Like, a British guy. This is so James Bond. It's not even funny, man.
I know, too, right, man. It's like, say, it's Dr. No with the old island with this guy who's deformed at a young
age. But they really got really technical with this movie, which has never been done in a Robert Klaus or a Golden Harvest movie at the time, which is, I mean, it just shows me that you know, I mean, I think Bruce Lee had more to do with this production than it. I mean, it's just quality, man. The whole movie's quality.
Well, that's what, exactly. I mean, the thing is with this is like, no, I mean, it pretty much is a Bruce Lee film. I mean, you watch it and think, all right, no, I mean, because I'm the person who follows the film by the person who directed it. But in this case, no, I mean, it's not a fucking Robert Klaus movie. You know what I mean? He's just like director for hire. You know what I mean?
It's just like the Lo Wei movies. You know, Bruce Lee made The Big Boss and Fist of Fury.
Hmm.
Then if you look at Lo Wei's other work, like, you know, for instance,
all the Jackie Chan stuff.
Yeah, all the
Jackie Chan. Exactly, fucking hell. I must admit, I'm not.
I mean, they suck, man. They suck.
To be honest, I've only ever seen Magnificent Bodyguards and,
oh, gosh.
Oh, that's the other one.
Dude, and a good Lo Wei Jackie Chan film, the two of them are actually Dragon Fist and New Fist of Fury. I actually like those two a lot.
I've seen New Fist of Fury as well, so I was going to say that.
It's not bad, dude. I mean, considering, you know, I mean, they brought, like, a Norm Yao back, which is always a good thing.
Well, they're okay, like, I mean, James Tien's in a couple of them, and he's always good laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, James Tien, that's right.
Yeah.
James Tien.
Right.
Yeah, the shots in this movie are, I mean, for like a low-budget movie, I mean, this is still low-budget, even if it was a Hollywood movie, but just the shots
to be,
they used.
To be fair, though, Hong Kong, like, I mean, it's such a sort of, I mean, you can just stick a camera anywhere and you get, like, plenty of activity to shot, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Make it interesting.
But yeah, it's just, like, gives it an epic film, man, all these shots, man. It's like,
you know, I mean,
that's why I think this movie was so big, because they just showed Hong Kong like it's never been shown before.
Yeah, I mean, but now you look at it and it looks like every other movie, because every other movie's filmed like
yeah.
this, you know what I mean? They're like, oh, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, before this, you know what I mean? You couldn't put, if you're trying to find a movie that was, like, sort of, you know what I mean, outside of Hong Kong production, would, like, you know what I mean?
You know,
like, wouldn't see it, you know what I mean? You've got the flashback.
Yeah.
See,
okay,
is,
the, yeah, I never liked, you know, I never liked this flashback sequence of Bruce. I mean, everyone gets their own, like, okay, like, Jim Kelly gets his own flashback. John Saxon gets his own flashback. And Bruce Lee doesn't get a flashback. He gets some, you know, some, the story involving his sister.
Yeah, well, yeah, so
I mean, this is a flashback I least like, because Bruce Lee has nothing to do with it, you know?
Well, to be fair, though, it's quite good, because it's a fucking flashback within a flashback. And
you
don't get that very often, though.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah, that's right. I never noticed that.
Exactly.
It's a flashback within a flashback. That's like
exactly. broke all cinema, like, rules and everything.
Yeah.
Flashback.
Oh, look at this guy. There's a guy in this, like, one of the background guys. It's one of these guys, but you'll notice him. He's in a lot of Jackie Chan movies.
Yeah.
He usually played, like, a comedic role. You know who I'm talking about?
I don't, actually. Which one?
Oh, God, let me see here. I know we're, like, not exactly in sync, but
right.
Look at it. God, you'd have to recognize this guy. He was, like, in a lot of Jackie Chan movies. I mean, you've seen most Jackie Chan movies, so you'll
yeah.
know.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I mean. I probably
okay,
have
to. Okay, he's the guy at the corner. He's...
That's,
oh, God, I don't know. Yeah, you'll recognize him if you look at their faces, dude. There's no way. Okay, he's the guy in back of Bob Wall after he gets stabbed in the eye.
Right.
After he gets sliced in the eye.
Yes. I think, yeah.
You'll have to rewind it. His
head is just out of shot at the moment.
What do you think of Angela now, man?
Well, I've never seen anything else. She's in that, was it Lady Whirlwind or something?
Whirlwind and yeah, she's been in a few, man.
Hapkido and a couple others. But I'm not seeing them, to be honest with you. But I mean, she kicks ass in this. I mean, she's like the Michelle...
Yeah, I know.
Michelle.
No, she's definitely... She doesn't showcase her true talent in this movie.
Well, that's because she's like Michelle Yeoh of her time, wasn't she?
For some reason, it looks like Robert Klaus directed this scene, because it's not exactly...
Well, that's what I was saying, because I remember, like, knowing when you sort of first watch movies and stuff, you think that every scene without Bruce Lee he wouldn't be involved, knowing you think, oh, he wouldn't be called to set on this day. Well, I mean, with him doing the fight choreography, everything, then obviously he was, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, I mean...
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
shot, it's so unhung. I mean, it looks bad. They just use bad angles for the fights, and it looks like, I mean, she's really a talented martial artist, but it doesn't show here. I mean, I could do this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well,
look at that. Well, I think of that back. That whirlwind kick right there was pretty badass.
Well, I think it kicks ass, that one. You definitely pause the DVD for about a second, and then unpause it. But anyway...
What have you, you know what she's doing right now, Angela Mo?
Huh?
You know, is she still alive?
I assume she is, but I have no idea.
You just don't hear nothing of her. She, like, totally disappeared,
yeah.
man. I mean, we hear more about Biddy Ting Tate than she, you know?
You get that all Hong Kong actresses like that, though, because they tend to get married off with rich businessmen, and then they don't vanish off the scene.
Oh, yeah, they disappear. I mean, even today, man.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Once they turn 30, they're gone.
Yeah, sorry.
Bridget Lynn.
Yeah, she vanished off the scene, didn't she? Right, we're turning to Paul Hellamore, we've got to keep talking.
Yeah,
I don't know what you said about the fight cover, but this could well have been filmed without Bruce Lee. I mean, the shot, a lot of scenes initially, that all the Roper stuff that have got out of the way, and the Jim Kelly scenes, that have shot all that stuff probably pre-Bruce Lee sort of thing, when he was nervous and he didn't want to...
Yeah, exactly, yeah, because he didn't show up till like, a month later or something
No,
like that?
No, actually...
Like 2 weeks or something like that.
No, actually, Bruce Lee would have been here, because I read that all the fight scenes were, none of them were, like, they weren't written on the script, so I think it was just, like, fight scene here, and Bruce Lee did it on the fly.
This whole scene reminds me of the whole zombie thing, man, like that Michael Jackson Thriller video where
she gets
in the house and all the zombies start coming in.
I tell you what I really love about this scene now is, like, the DVD was, the first time I seen this in widescreen was it got broadcast on, TV over here, like, about, sort of,
they broadcast in widescreen?
Yeah, but not
really?
not 2.35, it was like in 1.85 cropped. So it was I mean, it wasn't quite, but it was better than Panascan, because for years I watched it Panascan, like, you know what I mean? And obviously the nunchuk scene was always cut over the versions over here, because the guy who basically ran the BBFC, which was like the censored thing, he just had a fucking a complete like fetish against like nunchucks. He just didn't like nunchucks at all. Cause, like,
yeah, I know, I know.
And, like, they went the same.
Well, let me ask you. When's the first time you saw all the Bruce Lee movies with nunchucks?
Oh, I only since the Hong Kong Legends stuff. I mean,
really? Are you serious? That's the only. Oh man!
Literally, honestly. Well, I mean that.
You never even bothered to go out of your way to get bootlegs or anything just to see the nunchucks.
Well, the story behind that is, first got into the Dragon, right? I couldn't believe how good it was, blah, blah, all, like, saying, oh, yeah, the getting uncut version of Nunchucks. I was like, oh, what's the Nunchucks thing? Like, the massive, like, rumours at school. Oh, so-and-so's got a copy on it, Betamax. Oh, damn it, I haven't got Betamax. Oh, yeah, it's really good, blah, blah. Anyway, and my mate had sent off for an bootleg, and it cost him about 15 quid, I think, and he got it back. Anyway, sure enough, it was uncut, so to speak. But it was pan and scan, but it wasn't, like, there was no pan involved. It was just, like, the centre of the image. You know what I mean? So they wouldn't bother scrolling left and right to kind of follow the actor. You know what I mean, when the pan and scan stuff. So it was like, so although it was the sort of same ratio as the one off the TV we had, which was thingy, but there was no pan in the pan and scan, it was just like the middle of the frame, so sometimes you'd miss fucking loads of stuff. So the nunchuck scene was fine, but the rest of it was like shit, plus it was like about fucking fourth generation. So after that, like, me and mate just kind of made a pact and we said, we're not fucking watching any more Bruce Lee movies until we can get the fuckers in widescreen.
Oh, hell yeah.
We didn't want to sort of spoil the sort of the thingy. So that I'd literally, it was only 1999, that first seen Fist of Fury, and this is like a Bruce, I don't know, it's a monster Bruce Lee fan since like 1986 type thing. So I mean,
I can't believe that,
well,
dude.
Well, what it was, right? We're all big fans of Enter the Dragon, and then when we went on school after that, it was like, what else is he in? What else is he made? And I was like, all right, he's made We're the Dragon, blah blah, and we found out all this stuff. And my mate had, like, We're the Dragon, I was like, how good Chuck Norris is it? It's going to be really, really cool. So I think my mate said, oh, it's not very good, because obviously it was, like, dubbed and stuff, and, like, he didn't really sort of appreciate it. So it was just, like, I never bothered lending it off him. And so when I finally got round to watching them, they were all cut to bits, dubbed, pan and scan. It was just like, oh, man, you know what I mean? I was expecting, like, Enter the Dragon-type production values, and, like, I didn't really realise they were, like, made in Hong Kong for, like, not even half the budget, you know what I mean? It was like, oh. So after that, I was just like, no, I'm sorry. So I didn't, like, watch any of them until, like, I started getting them in widescreen and stuff. But, yeah, so Big Boss, though, was actually broadcast on TV in about 97.
Yeah, Big Boss had no nunchuck scenes at all.
Yeah, so that was relatively uncut. So when that got broadcast, it was, but to be honest with you, Big Boss was cut the ribbons, even though it didn't have nunchucks in. The VHS version over here was cut to bits beyond belief.
What did they cut out?
What didn't they cut out? There was, like, what we used to do was to watch, have you ever seen The Best of Martial Arts?
Yes, I've seen it.
Yeah, well, that is, like, the biggest bluffers
over
guy.
Over here, it's called The Deadliest Art, actually.
Yeah, well, it's basically...
In USA.
It's the biggest bluffers guide to Hong Kong cinema ever. You basically, all you need to do is you buy that, watch it infinite times, watch it more times than God, and then you can just bluff about you've seen this, seen that, seen this.
More times than God.
Exactly. But that was in there, and there was a big fight scene in Big Boss, the end fight scene with the boss, and you know when he jumps up to kick on the button, like, you get a close-up of Bruce Lee's foot.
You know what, I think the good thing about that documentary is that was, like, one of the first times he actually saw a lot of these films in widescreen.
Do you think so?
Because, right, all the clips were in widescreen.
You're wrong, they weren't.
No, the version I saw, man, it was cool because they showed Bruce Lee clips in widescreen, man.
Right, no, we never got that. The whole video was pan and scan. The thing is, though, what I was going to say earlier when I've gone off a tangent, but basically, you know the scene where you're on about the zombies and all, basically Angela Mao's biting the people and she gets
fucked in?
Well, that, when I first seen that in widescreen, I couldn't believe how good it was because. And the pan and scan one, you don't understand, like, that the smashing the windows in on either side of the frame.
Yeah, you hear someone, like, smashing a window on the left, and you can't actually see that.
Exactly, because I remember for years, I remember watching it and thinking, I remember seeing the Bruce Lee films, but just the other martial arts films, and I always go back Enter the Dragon, I always think to myself, well, a lot of the action's actually off-screen, you don't see the contact points, you don't see, and it wasn't until I realised it was pan and scan, that's what I was missing, no, I was thinking it was badly filmed by Robert Close, but, I mean, it still is.
Okay, this scene, yeah, speaking of that, this scene with Roper and Pat Jackson.
Yeah.
This scene is definitely Robert Klaus, man. This is like Robert Klaus training.
Yeah,
look at the way this is. Look at this, man.
Wait for the guy for the gun. Here, and here we go. Run for the gun, run back in the frame, and he gets it in the face. Oh, man, it is really
good. Yeah, what's up with the red turtleneck, man? Come on.
I know, plus the wig as well. I mean, John Saxon was never the coolest. I mean, he is cool, but I mean...
Yeah, the thing about John Saxon, he was never big. I mean, this is like almost his breakthrough as much as it was Bruce Lee. He always had like co-starring parts, but he was never...
I know.
He was no Clint Eastwood, that's for sure.
Exactly. Have you ever seen...
I like John Saxon. He's a good kid, a good performance in this movie.
Well, I mean, the thing is, people watch this these days, and they haven't seen, like... I mean, they just watch it fresh. And John Saxon gets a lot of fucking stick. I mean, people do not really like John Saxon. I mean, they're, like, slagging
him. I don't know why.
Neither do I. I mean, he's cool enough in this. I mean, all the stuff...
It's funny how this movie works, though. I mean, John Saxon I mean, he's a star. They had to put him in, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like today, you know, Rush Hour, Chris Tucker, Jackie Chan.
Exactly.
They were doing the same thing back then.
Yeah.
But it's funny how, I mean, John Saxon seems like a main character, but he isn't, because they concentrate on him more as far as dialogue and all that stuff.
Mm.
But Bruce Lee is definitely the star, but it's kind of...
Well, the way...
it's like Bruce Lee and John Saxon are almost sharing it equally, you know?
Well, they were edging the bets, weren't they? They were, like, shooting... You know, I mean, this is like you say, exactly what we're saying with Rush Hour with Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan. You know, I mean, they kind of they want to appeal to two different markets to think, well, if we can't sell this as a Hong Kong martial art movie, we'll be able to sell it as a James Bond-type thriller, and we've got, like, John Saxon sort of there, you know what I mean?
Check out these kids, man. These kids are going to be laughing at John at his afro.
Too right, man. I'll fuck Jim.
They're laughing at his afro, man. They're not laughing at the fact that he's black. They're laughing at his afro.
well, that as well, I suppose. But, I mean, no, that is a hell of a...
You know they are. They even point their fingers at the afro.
That is a hell of an afro.
Oh, that's a hell... Dude, you could, like, plant beads in there, dude.
Exactly, the microphone head.
Yeah, and you could just stick stuff in there. It'll stay forever.
Oh, man.
They're, like, hiding away from his afro.
There's the kids.
Here's
the flashback. Actually, best mention this. This DVD version, which is basically, I mean, it's the 25th anniversary or whatever. Basically, they've used the Chinese print, which had the monk scene in originally. But what they've noticed is, well, the differences are not just the monk scene. You've got the monk scene, the scene at the end where he references the monk scene. But there's also, like, music cues missing. Like, for instance, this flashback scene here, knowing what's coming up in a minute where Jim Kelly...
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I noticed that, yeah. There's music on the scene that I didn't know. I'm like, coming up soon here.
That's what I mean. We'll get there. One end, Mickle Williamson, another guy who played Forrest Gump's mate with a big lip. He was one of the guys in the Jim Kelly dojo.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, I forgot to mention him when he was just on, but that, if you go back...
Oh, really? I didn't know that. No, you mean the fish guy?
Yeah, I've just seen him in Ali. He plays Don King in Ali.
Are you sure, dude?
Yeah, positive. Right, he's the coppers.
This jig ain't going to Hawaii.
Hong Kong by Hawaii. Where you going, jig? has that phrase ever been used in anything other than Enter Dragon? Like, the derogatory term? Jig. I've never heard of it in the slightest, but I mean, when I heard it, this was like, what? Jig? Anyway.
Dude, Jim Kelly is solid, man. This is the way he fights, dude.
Yeah, I know. I love all the...
Yeah.
Absolutely class. Anyway, this is the music cue.
Yeah, here's the music, dude. The music, please.
This is really good. I thought
I was losing my mind when I heard that.
No.
I guess my copies were so bad I never heard the music, but I guess they remastered it again, you know? They just totally...
No, they didn't. That's what I'm saying. They didn't remaster it. They remastered the Chinese print, which had that music score in it. But what you'll find later on in the movie is there's two other scores missing, and one of them really hurts the film. It's the bit after... Well, I'll tell you when we get there, actually. It's the bit where, do you know, after Bruce Lee's been captured, the battle with the guards is magnificent, he's captured, and then it cuts to the next morning scene for the morning's edification, and Bruce Lee, John Saxon walks out, and all the flags are waving, and they're all, like, waiting for the thing in Bruce's title.
Yeah.
Well, there's a music, it's just after the Roper scene as well, where, not the Roper scene, the bloody, put your colonel on the phone. The music goes, dun-dun-dun, I'll tell you when you get there, but basically that's missing. That's missing off the DVD version. Off this version, which is a bit of a bastard. But on the plus side, you get the Jim Kelly music in that flashback. You get that music.
Yeah, Jim Kelly music. You can tell Jim Kelly music sounds like so blaxploitation, man.
Well, yeah, it's got like a really like sort of funky riff to it, isn't it?
This guy looks like Buck Rogers.
Oh, man, what are you doing?
Peter Archer?
Peter Archer, yeah. New Zealander, one.
This guy did pretty good playing an asshole, man. He makes a pretty good asshole.
Yeah, he's cool.
I wanted to see Bruce Lee kick his ass, man. I still want it.
Well,
just in the scene, man.
Even to this day, when I watch this, I can remember the first time I watched it, and I thought, and like, I mean, you're playing the movie along in your mind, you're kind of guessing what's going to happen next sort of thing. And when he says, we need more room, there's an island over there on the beach. I like literally visualized him on an island, fighting him on the beach, kicking his ass.
But
it never happens, and you're like, shit, if only there's like...
But you can see Bruce Lee kick his ass, though. Exactly. Even if it never happens, man.
Well, that's so good about a movie, because it's got its own life, you know what I mean? You can imagine that scene actually happening in, like, an alternate reality, you know what I mean? He goes on that island, kicks his ass on the beach.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's the flashback.
Wonder what they originally had planned. I mean, I wonder if they had a fight scene with these guys. Who knows?
I've no idea, actually.
Look at that shot, man. That's...
Yeah, well, that's just... I mean, that's Hong Kong what it looked like then. I mean, it's completely different now, I think.
Yeah, Jackie Chan, I mean, through those same slums, man, Jackie Chan had, like, a little motorcycle chase
Like I said, all the extras in the shops there, like, they're actually people who live on them boats. You know what I mean?
This is a documentary right here, man. This is really real. Yeah, this movie is just, it has like, a really epic feel to it, man, you know? I mean, I just can't believe Robert Klaus directed this. I just refuse to believe that, you know, he had say in some matters, but it wasn't his movie, man, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, but I mean, to be fair, I can't really comment on Robert Klaus's directing, because I've only ever seen this and, what the hell's that other one I've seen with him? The Yul Brynner movie, what the hell's that called?
Yul Brynner movie.
Yeah.
Future World?
No, by Robert Klaus. I forgot what it's called.
I didn't even know he made a movie with a real
actor. Oh, God, he made a movie with every bloody sort of B-movie type.
Every big guy. He ruined everybody's career.
It's like set in the future type thing. Yul Brynner's like this main guy. It'll come to me in a minute, but anyway, that's the only other movie I've seen.
That's Westworld or Future World or something, right?
It's not Future World or Westworld. It's
something similar. It was like a knockoff.
Yeah, exactly. I won't go into that. Yeah, God.
Yeah, I don't even think Williams talked to Bruce Lee Whedon once. He didn't even talk to him once in this movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
They never exchanged any conversation.
Right, yeah. See, the...
Insect.
Prayer minuses. I wonder...
I always look at all the Chinese guys to see if they're anybody famous there.
Well, yeah.
There's lots of people in this movie that are famous, man.
Well, there's millions when we get into the... when we get to Hans Island. Like, I mean, Yu and Bu pops up a million times.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like a really close-up, too. Mm. Close-up shot. John Saxon losing money again.
Yeah, would you believe that? Oh, dumb shit.
God. This is like one of the rare times Bruce Lee actually laughing in his, you know...
Yeah.
In Dead of the Dragon, he's like serious as ice in this movie.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, because in Way of the Dragon as well, like, then when he like, plays like completely different characters, I mean, because he's a fucking nutcase in Fist of Fury, isn't he? He's like a complete psychopath.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in Way of the Dragon, he's Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky, man, and in Fist of Fury, he's psycho.
Yeah.
In this movie, he's a little bit of both.
That's what I think, getting back to what I said earlier, where I'd never seen Fist of Fury until, like, 99. It was a disappointment, but I mean,
I can't believe I'm hearing that, dude.
Well, that's what I mean, but that's like this.
99, dude, come on.
Yeah, well,
that's just wrong, dude. That's not good.
Well, if you'd seen the cut version of Big Boss like we did, and were so disappointed at that because it was pan and scan, it was cut to bits, and it was just like, no, I mean, dubbed as well, and it was just like, oh man, I thought we don't really want to sort of. No, I didn't want to see. I didn't want to have Fist of Fury spoiled by watching it in a completely censored, dubbed to bits, no, I mean, pan and scan version, so I've just said, no, sod it, we'll wait till we get the proper versions of it, because we knew it would come sooner or later, sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't blame you on that.
Yeah, but I mean, in hindsight, we kind of missed, like, loads of years of being able to watch it. You know what I mean? It was like, it was really weird, because it came on TV, cut, i.e. nunchucks were out, but I still watched it anyway, because it was on TV and it was in widescreen. And that was actually broadcast 235 as well, so and I remember watching it just before I went on holiday with my mate, and this is a guy who'd like, made the pact with. And we're literally on the flight, and the flight was having loads of, like, you know when you get, like, turbulence. And it was like, I mean, it was an absolute nightmare, turbulence, sort of thing. And everyone's like, fuck, the fuck's going in? The plane's going to crash. And I remember going down there, and I looked at my mate, and I said, well, at least I've seen Fist of Fury. Like, if we die, at least I've seen Fist of Fury. And he looked at me and laughed, and then he like, looked at me again and said, you shouldn't have said that, you deaf good, no, he jinxed us. But anyway, needless to say, we landed there. Like, well, I was like, just before one and all day, like, 99, so I remember it being 99 when I first watched it. But I mean, I was a bit, not so much disappointed, but I mean, stuff like Big Boss.
Was it the Hong Kong? Was it the Hong Kong Legends version you watched?
It wasn't. No, it was when it was on TV. It was the nunchucks were missing, so we had two nunchuck scenes missing, but it was in widescreen.
Oh,
but it was like when Big Boss was like a friend that I recognized it straight away. Big Boss, because I've always seen it, and Enter the Dragon I've always seen. I can't remember a time when I haven't seen it. Whereas Fist of Fury was just really weak. Cause it's like, oh, it was really alien to me because it was a completely new Bruce Lee film. Because I'd seen Way of the Dragon before, but that was like cut to bits as well. But I tell you what was really good, seeing them for the first time subtitled. Like, I mean, you still don't seem to...
Oh, yeah.
Have you got the VCDs? No, you've got the Hong Kong DVDs, haven't you?
I got the Hong Kong DVDs, and
yeah,
so I can't play your damn Hong Kong Legend.
Yeah, so you've seen the Hong... Yeah, you've seen... Because they're completely different films, dubbed.
Oh, I've seen... Yeah, the best one to get is Way of the Dragon, man. That's got so much stuff, man.
It's because of the dual dialogues, where you get the translator. It's a stupid scene where, like...
You get the good translator. Like, Big Boss, like, almost totally different story, man. Yeah. You know, the side story about his mother not wanting to fight. I mean, there's actually more to it.
what I was going to say there, I missed it earlier, but you know when Peter Archer gets stuck on the boat and he's like yelling at him? Well, if you turn the volume right up, when he's like, then you can hear him shout like, Bruce, Bruce! And I mean, he actually comes out of character because he's getting completely soaked and wet with the boat and it's going to sink. He's like, oh no, Bruce! I can't remember exactly what he says, but if you turn the fucking volume right up, you can actually hear him shout, Bruce! I'm going to kill you, Bruce! A woman like that could teach you a lot about yourself.
Yeah, check out Bruce Lee, man. I'm going to kick ass, man.
It's a really, really good thing. There's actually a scene apparently filmed where Bolo beats up one of the guards on this thing. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Wait, where did I hear about that?
I can't
remember. There's actually a fight right here. Yeah, that's what they're looking at here, I think.
Yeah, that's what was mentioned. I don't know whether that...
All three of them, I've seen them like on a magazine, like an actual photo where these guys are sitting there looking, holy shit, man, there's some guy...
Yeah.
They, like, cut it out, man. It's, like, totally gone. Look at all that luggage, man.
Yeah, I'll look at that luggage.
It's all Roper,
too. I know, that's fucking... Oh, that's why, how can you not love Roper when he's like, I mean, he's got a really good sort of pat there with, like, I mean, him and Bruce Lee, like, really, like, I mean, good.
I heard you could... You know what this place is now, then?
Tennis court.
This is it's a tennis court, yeah.
You can see the line still down there. Have you noticed there's one guy out of sync? There's always one fucks up, you know what I mean? They're basically doing the punches, like, I mean, like, you just miss him, but basically this guy, like, bottom line, he's just like, everyone's doing, like, right, left, he's doing the left.
Everyone's just a bunch of, like, extras. They don't even know what they're doing, man. Exactly. They're just, like, doing everything. But you don't notice it because of the scope, man. You just don't notice it.
Well,
I mean, unless you really look like us.
Exactly. I mean, you could, like, shots like this, like, I love watching this in widescreen. First time I watched this, like, watching a new film. I was like, Jesus. I mean, you know, just the way it's framed and stuff.
Yeah. This was filmed really good, man. The cinematography in this part.
Yeah.
Awesome, dude. This is Babe.
Yeah, well, I've never seen anything else apart from this.
She's in, I think she's in Darker Than Amber. I think she's the main actress.
Yeah, I remember the nude scene when they mentioned on the other comedy track where they say, like, I'm the nightmare trying to get her, like, naked in this, where she'd been naked in the previous film, so they're like, what's the problem?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
She just wanted more money, probably.
This is another scene that's pretty well done, and there's a lot going on at the same time, and it's, you know...
Actually,
it's a long shot here. It goes on for a while, circles around the whole room.
It's a very Shaw Brothers shot, is it? This seems like, I don't know, I've been watching loads of Shaw Brothers movies lately, and this the first time I've watched this for a while, so it looks like some of a Shaw Brothers soundstage.
I mean, it's amazing how much time they put into this, all those bird cages, man. This is, looks good, it just looks good.
There's not one on there, Paul Heller mentions like, the inspiration for like the colours and stuff, for like the Terry and the Pirates thing. I don't know what the hell he's talking about, but... That was basically all like colours. Actually, you know, the guy who wrote this, Michael Allen, the only other film he wrote properly was Flash Gordon, or the 1980...
you wrote Flash Gordon?
Yeah, Mike Nichols. Was it Mike Nichols? The guy did... I forgot the guy's name. Not Mike Nichols. Not Mike. But anyway, yeah. It's the same sort of... Like, no, if you watch Flash Gordon and the Dragon, together, like within the space of a week... Unbelievably similar sort of like colours and everything. You know what I mean? They're both like.
Oh, really?
Well, no, just the way it looks, and plus the villain dies the same way. You know what I mean? Flash, what you call it? Ming the Merciless gets killed by getting like impaled on this like ship thing, and the same way Mr. Han gets impaled on a staff. You know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, you can see like.
Yeah.
You can tell it's written by the same bloke, you know what I mean? I mean, I didn't know that when I watched it. I mean, I watched Flash Gordon last time, watched Dead the Dragon last time. So it's just when I went.
You just watched them like, there's no similarities.
Went on IMDb, in that movie database, and like put in Michael Allen. It's like he's wrote Flash Gordon. Is that right?
Why are you so apprehensive?
Exactly.
John's acting is cool, man. He's cool as ice. Look at him, dude.
Yeah.
His turtleneck, he's got like every color turtleneck.
I used to have a pair of pajamas exactly like that thing John Saxon's wearing.
You got them?
No, well, yeah, they were like size, like when I was about 8 years old. I mean, before I even see that Dragon. But just like looking at him now, I think, oh, good, he's got a pair of pajamas. But I really love the suits that all look like, I mean, it's obviously Chinese style, I mean, the one Bruce Lee's got on.
John Saxon here, he looks like straight into the camera, man. I forgot where it is, but yeah, he looks straight into the camera, man. It's like a total screw up. I think it's right here, dude. Check it out. it's coming up on yours. He looks straight into the camera and talks.
That's not bad, though. No, I mean, it's not as if he did it and then looked away. He did it.
I know, but it just looked like he was just like talking, man.
Exactly. He's shitting his pants and he swam. No, I mean, just looked and thought, right, I've done it now. I may as well hold it. Well, it wasn't that bad.
I really hate how they depict, like, Chinese food in movies, man. They always, like, every time they show Chinese food on TV, like, in these adventure movies, they always show it as insects or something.
Yeah,
it's not even like that. I mean, they have that kind of stuff, but, I mean, it's not... I mean, come on, man. People aren't animals.
I know, but when this was made, you know what I mean? I bet there wasn't half as many Chinese restaurants.
Oh, yeah, whenever you exactly. There wasn't too much, yeah. So it was like, let's show them the Chinese culture, man, and, you know.
Exactly.
That's why we have stereotypes, because movies like these, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, yeah.
What's with the turtlenecks under the garb, man?
Yeah.
Everyone's wearing a turtleneck, dude. Is that like...
Exactly. So you get Lao Ching Wang in this as well, with his turtleneck on.
Expecting. Only Lao Chi Wan looks cool in a turtleneck, man.
Exactly. What's this guy up to? He, like, looks like enough.
Who are these babes in the background with the Game of Death dresses on?
Oh, yeah, I never noticed that. Oh, here we go.
Oh, God. You have our gratitude.
Oh, man, that gets completely ribbed on a Kentucky Fried Movie. Like, what was it?
Yeah, I know, yeah, they do. Yeah, they totally rip on that, man.
Like,
that's not cool.
It's like, extraordinary magnitude. He says that every time.
Yeah, the Key Luke, the guy from Star Trek, I think, he actually did the voice.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Key Luke.
No, it's not a guy from Star Trek.
Not Star Trek.
Kung Fu, he played Graf.
Yeah, what am I talking about?
Yeah.
I know, I'm all off.
Yeah, you're only on a different tangent. You're on about George Takei, the guy who did the voice.
Yeah.
he did the voiceover for Curse of the Dragon documentary.
George Takei, Key Luke, whatever, man.
Yeah.
Same thing.
But yeah, the guy who played, Shin Kin, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but the bloke who played Mr. Han, he's in Young Master. He's in Young Master.
Yeah, he's in Young Master, and he's in some other...
He looks completely... I remember not recognising him at all when I seen that Young Master. I remember I lent it to my mate, and I said, oh, did you see Mr. Han in there? He's like, what? I was like, no, he plays Yung Bu's dad in it. He's like, you kidding me? And I went back and said, like, oh, shit, it is him. I mean, it's because he doesn't got his slick back hair.
Yung Wong, catch an apple.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah, he was totally... He was cool in Young Master, man.
Yeah.
I just feel sorry for this guy, because he gets stereotyped as a bad villain. I mean, he was in a Bruce Lee movie, dude.
I've never seen a Bruce Lee
movie. A really terrible Bruce Lee movie. I mean, all of them are terrible, but this one was really bad.
Yeah.
Norm Yao was also in a Bruce Lee movie.
Was she?
Yeah.
Which one?
No, Bruce Lee movie.
You can't pronounce it. They're all supposed to be pronounced Bruce Lee, but you can't.
No. Yeah, whatever. One of those. It's either Bruce Lee or Bruce Lee, man.
Exactly. Dragon Lee.
Oh, Dragon Lee.
Low budget, man.
Look how big this guy's earphones are, man. You think he's got an MD?
I don't think so. He's like listening on vinyl, I think.
8-track.
Exactly.
Yeah, probably vinyl. I don't even think they had 8-track then.
I love this scene, though. This is fucking class. I love this, man. You and you.
I'll take you.
Please forgive me.
Please understand.
It's been a long day.
I'm
very tired. What a man. Man. You gotta love him.
Dude, I was so sad when he died in this, but I wanted to see him kick more ass.
I know, I must admit, when he got killed, it was like, you kidding me? I couldn't believe it. It was like, nightmare.
But that's what I mean. When you see Black Belt Jones, it's like, alright, Jim Kelly, a whole movie with William.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But when you see it, it's like, oh man, he sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, not he doesn't suck, but I mean, he can't carry a movie, man. You know what I mean?
It's like Flavor Flav. No, I mean, he's really good in Public Enemy, but I mean, you wouldn't want to.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a very good point, man. I mean, a guy comes out with a solo album, it sucks.
Exactly.
Very good point.
There he comes.
Black Power. See, a lot of the stuff you don't see in the.
Well, that's
in the,
what I mean. But to be fair, I mean, I don't know. This probably kicked off the whole trend of having like a disposable black guy in like Hollywood movies. So there was a disposable black guy. You know what I mean? Just like put him in there and then kill him off.
Yeah. Exactly. I know. That's weird, man.
Yeah.
What was that typewriter? What is he writing, man? What's up with this? What is he writing to his brother in Tower of Death?
Exactly. I've just watched that the other week, actually.
Hey, that first bit was hot.
What?
Yeah, this was the first scene. I think this was the first scene he shot, wasn't it?
Yeah. And he supposedly had a nervous twitch or something, and blah, blah.
Yeah, he had a nervous twitch in his eye. Look at his arm, dude. Look at the way he's sitting, dude. His arm is all the way up there, man.
Yeah.
He's like, he doesn't know what to do, man.
Exactly. I bullshit that, though. He's just very nervous, but I don't think there's any twitches or anything. I mean...
Anna Capri, man. Look at her lips. Looks like she just got done eating chicken. Oh, here's Pulp Fiction. I'm just going to go home. Jerk off.
Exactly. No, but I love this thing, because, like, you know, I mean, the weird shot, you know, I mean, the mirror off the back of the door. You don't know it's a mirror, obviously, until the door opens. I mean, then it opens, and then all the women come in, sort of thing. You know, the last one actually speaks. Like, all of them are silent, and, like, I mean, it's like, hi. She doesn't say anything, and then, hang on, get out of the way. And then the last one comes in and goes, hi.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right.
No, shut up. You're not fucking pissed.
Like, well, dude, you're in a movie. You're in a fucking movie. You're not supposed to. She thinks she's like, I guess all these girls are really whores. She must have thought she was really going to, like, you know, do something. Gangsta shit with fucking John.
Well, is it that? I'm getting mixed up. They did hire some prostitutes, didn't they, for the some of the.
Oh yeah.
It was cheaper to hire the prostitutes than it was to get the like proper actresses over from like Hong Kong.
Oh yeah. You know Robert Klaus and the gang and the whole film crew were like gang banging at night after. Come on, man. This is Hollywood, dude. In the 70s, you're like smoking pot and banging on the prostitutes. Yeah.
Pre-AIDS.
There was a definite cut in this scene, man. You can tell, man, it doesn't even flow.
Yeah, some of the scenes that I've cut were in Game of Death 2, only slightly, though.
Yeah. See, I like Tower of Death, a.k.a. Game of Death 2. I thought it was really, really well done.
Well,
you're talking fight scenes, and it's just a good movie, man.
Yeah.
Better than Game of Death. I mean, you know, Game of Death 78.
I don't know, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go as far as that. I mean, I really like Game of Death 2, but I mean, it's a bit... No, I mean, it's too fucking...
Well, I think the reason why most people like Game of Death is because, you know, at the time you watched it, you actually thought it was a real Bruce Lee movie.
I mean, it
kind of grows on you, you know?
I can honestly believe that. I didn't watch it when I was a kid. I watched it at the same time seeing Way of the Dragon. But I could not believe... I remember watching Game of Death... I remember watching Way of the Dragon and thinking... Right, it was obviously...
UBL's coming up. Yeah, right there, dude.
It's not fair.
You're behind.
It's not fair. You can sort of get in the fucking references before I can because you're ahead of me, you bastard.
I know, man.
But yeah, I'm the one who's singing it upright, so you fucking slow down.
We're close enough.
Why are you wearing that uniform? Look at the stage. He's like,
what's up?
Oh shit! Fuck God.
Total character actor right there, dude.
Exactly. Whoops.
Hang on. Ooh, real fire. Hang on.
Dude,
fucking wearing shoes with no socks, man, come on.
Die. Kung Fu uniforms.
I was going to say something. Oh, in Tower of Death, dude. Did you notice that scene where they cut out where he has the book?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how the Hong Kong Legends was, but there's like a weird scene from End of the Dragon where he comes in and he like casts on one of those yellow suits. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Dude, where does that fit in, dude? I'm trying to figure out where that actually fits in End of the Dragon, and what's up with the book?
I think the book is basically Bruce Lee's wrote a book, like, at Jeet Kune Do or whatever, and Mr. Han has put the book in his office as if to say, like, I know you, I've read your book, blah, blah, blah. The same way...
Oh, are you serious? Yeah. Did you read this? Is that what you think?
No, that's what I think, and that's what... But I think everyone kind of thinks, no, I mean, that's what kind of...
That's what I think.
Well, that's what I've read. So I've read it.
It totally makes sense. That's why I asked you if you got this from the original script, because now that I think about it, that totally makes sense.
The same way, like, if Williams was, like, a musician, he'd have, like, a CD in his office or a vinyl record, as if to say, I know who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it was. Here we go, yeah. I mean, like... You know,
I didn't think they were going to make these guys fight each other. I thought they were going to be, like, fighting all foreigners, dude.
I know. I really wish...
I didn't think it was yellow against yellow or whatever.
I know. I really wish the mech, like... I mean, if this was made... I mean, that's just a day, but I mean, remember, like, in the 80s, where every film that came out would get, like, a game on it? The mech, like, an Commodore 64 game or whatever, you know what I mean? I don't know what it's like in America, but, like, you know what I mean? Every time a movie come out, there'd be a game made... And, like, they don't do it these days. I mean, they do it to some extent. But I'm just saying, if there'd been an End of the Dragon computer game, it'd have been like a Street Fighter type thing where you've obviously got the characters, like, based on Ali type thing. It'd be just really cool. And you'd be able to have Williams fighting Bruce Lee and, I mean, just stuff that you couldn't have in the movie.
Yeah.
It's in the extras in the background. The fucking, honestly, you can't find a man to hire them, can you?
They showed a while ago, they showed a scene of, the ghost guy. Ghost fighter guy, ghost killer. The priest, the guy that was in Big Boss. Lao... Oh, what's his name, dude? I know you know him, dude. He played the vampire hunter guy.
I can never say his name. Lam Ching Summit.
Oh, Lam Ching Ying.
Yeah.
Something like that.
He's the guy who stunt doubled Mr. Han. He died a couple of years back, didn't he? Cancer, I think.
Oh, there's Tony, man. There's
This guy's not getting. Have you seen him in the documentaries? No, he doesn't look a day older.
Yeah, you must have that same documentary I have, the one where they...
It's a British one, it's Channel 4 made it, it's called...
way of intercepting fist or something like that. Yeah, the guy has an age, man. The guy still looks like a mess, man.
Yeah.
Hitler, dude. Hitler back there making bets.
Yeah, class.
One of the guys in the back of him looks like Chow Yun Fat, dude.
Yeah, that guy, yeah.
The guy that looks like Chow Yun Fat, dude. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you said it then. It was exactly when he was on the screen here. So.
We should start a rumor, dude. Chow Yun Fat get a cameo on
the thing. Well, it's like that rumor that, Fist of Fury on the commentary track by Bill Logan, he said, like, Steve Martin was, like, at the very end, not the very end of Fist of Fury where they shoot Bruce Lee. The very end of Fist of Fury when Bruce Lee gets killed.
Yeah, who?
Yeah, well, there's just a guy with white hair, and Bill Logan said, that's Steve Martin, right? The only reason he said it right, just...
And
loads of people thought he was being serious and sort of spread the rumour. It's the same reason, like, when...
He started a lot of controversy about him. A lot of people, I thought it was Steve Martin.
Well, the reason he did it, it's the same reason, like, dictionaries... Like, if I'm doing the Oxford Dictionary, I'll put a word in there that doesn't exist. So if anyone rips it off, I know they've ripped me off. Because that's my word I put in, it doesn't exist, you know what I mean? It's kind of just a kind of like a double like protection sort of, if you get ripped off, you can say, look, you ripped me off because you fucking mentioned that, and you wouldn't have mentioned it because I made up, you know what I mean? That's what I think he did it for. I mean, everyone just kind of took it as bond, and it's like bullshit.
But that guy does put out a hell of commentary, man. He could take a stupid movie that has no interest, man.
Well, exactly.
He could take a commentary about it, you know?
Bill Logan's the man.
Yeah, you're like Bay Logan on acid, man.
Well, exactly.
You're like Bay Logan on acid, man. You got the little accent thing going, but you just talk faster than he does.
Yeah.
You're the Chris Tucker of the UK, dude.
God, hey, do not call me Chris Tucker, please.
Oh, dude, John Jackson's getting some, dude.
Yeah, a little lower.
Dude, she must have fell a couple times, man, because she looks like she's definitely going to fall off.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, John Jackson definitely banged her on the set, dude.
Yeah, he must have done. Probably Williams got in there with the fucking biggest dick on the, like, biggest dick I've ever seen on a man first, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Look at him, he's enjoying it, dude, he's all right on, man. Nipple shot, two nipple shots.
Well, that's what I mean, you get two nipple shots, and it cuts to the next scene with Williams, and there's like another nipple shot, and then an ass shot, you know what I mean? It's like, whoa.
Oh, that's a nice ass for a 70s, for a 1970s Asian made.
Exactly. Hey, oh, God, these Williams are out of the moonlight, baby.
Dude, that's why they made Williams die, dude, because he pretty much got his whole life fulfilled right there, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's no point.
And all the four naked chicks, man. Oh, man.
There's no point going on.
Yeah, there was more. There was like five.
Yeah, he's been up all night doing sit-ups as well.
Where'd you go?
Oh, okay.
Out to the moon lap, baby.
It is that love.
Bad mistake, man. It's going to cost him his life.
Well, the thing is, if he kind of dies, like, I mean, he could have told him it was Bruce Lee, and he wouldn't have got knacked, no, I mean, but Mr. Hand.
Yeah, that's what's cool about this guy, man. He's totally cool.
No, I mean, and that's what's even better is that he mentioned he doesn't even speak to Bruce Lee, so that's even better, because he didn't even know the guy. So it wasn't as if he was protecting his friends.
Using your favorite word, obsessed, dude, I think Bruce Lee was obsessed with tracksuits, dude.
Well, you know what I mean?
He was obsessed with tracksuits, man. This is like the Game of Death done.
Exactly. The Alvin George, you know, he's obsessed.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Alvin George.
We should mention that bastard because, like, he's banned.
Oh, man, he'll be obsessed, dude. He'll, like, probably call us up, man, ask to do a commentary with him or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, if got a canon film, Death Warrior or something.
American Ninja.
This part's so cheesy with the nunchucks, man. Guards walking around.
Yeah. Well, the reason this was done is because the weapon was completely unknown. And just to sort of show that they were actually hard, you know what I mean? To show that there were sticks of wood. They put that scene in where it bangs in there sort of, so you can sort of see the weight of it sort of thing. So when you see Bruce Lee using it later on, you don't think, what the hell is he using there? I mean, even if the former, I mean, I don't know if you've pissed about nunchucks, but I mean, I've done like a lot of nunchuck skills, and I mean, even the former one's knack you.
You know, I just realized something, dude. This whole scene right here, the first scene, I didn't ever realize that this is a restaurant.
Is it? Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah, he's actually in the restaurant, dude. All the bird cages were covered, man.
All right, yeah. It was hardly the restaurant, but you know what I mean.
Not a restaurant, but whatever. They had the banquet.
The main, banquet hall.
I think it's changed now already. See, I've seen this guy in some movies, too. This guy, this weird guy with the droopy eyes.
I must admit, I'm going back to Kentucky Fried Movie again, but this is really well spoofed, this bit. Because, like, basically, the guy's walking about, and he's knocking over everything, and this guy still doesn't realize he's there, you know what I mean? It's like, fucking...
Oh, really?
Open your...
Yeah, I gotta see it again. That sounds hilarious, man.
He's like, sneaking around right behind him, and, like, he's just smashing everything, and the guy's, like, none the wiser. It's funny as fuck. Oh, man.
Yeah, who made the Kentucky Fried movie? Was it John Landis?
Oh, man. John Landis made it, but it was written by, like, all the Abram and Zuckers, the other guys did it.
Oh, Zuckers, yeah, the Zuckers, yeah.
Because they made it, and then they made Airplane and hit pay dirt, and, I mean, have you seen Top Secret? That is, like,
Airplane, I mean, Airplane.
Yeah, Top Secret, that's the one, with Val Kilmer. It's completely underrated.
Yeah, I never seen it, dude.
It's completely underrated, but
really?
That's better than Airplane.
I gotta check it out.
There's a little cut that you're in the weather. Cut.
They should have showed this scene. They should have showed what they do to this guy. Oh, no, this is the one. There's probably they just show the shadow, dude.
What's that? Cool, yeah. That was spoofed as well. I'm going to end up just talking about Kentucky Fried movie, but basically just, like, shadow...
They had, like, a whole fight scene of the shadow.
No, it was, like, animals on the wall and stuff. Shadow animals.
Oh, yeah. I gotta see that again. I gotta go read that. Damn, Bruce Lee jumped into that tree like he was, like, I think that was, like,
yeah, we
don't play it back,
yeah, well, obviously, but we don't want to mention that because it's so obvious, you know what I mean? I hate watching a comedy track. I listen to a comedy track, and you're kind of guessing what they're going to say, and, like, you know what I mean? Like, if I was watching this now, I'd say, I bet they say that was played in reverse. So that's why I didn't say it until you said it. Anyway. Nice collection of plants there.
Of course. No, there's no snake yet, right? They're going to put a snake next time.
Yeah, that's right. He got bit by the snake. Did he about that? They'd, like, de-venomed it to sort of take the venom out of it, just in case. But, I mean, actually bit him, like, and she was like, no.
Yeah, they actually bit him, dude, jeez.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a connection to his death. They didn't
take
the venom.
Yeah, that is exactly.
Son of,
the poison didn't go out of his blood.
The Shaw brothers, dude, planted deadly venom in the fucking snake.
He puts the knots in this fucking rope very fast. Oh, no, they're already in it, are they? Never mind. Oh, hang on, are they? Is that a reef knot? Granny knot? No, there's a million knots in the rope now.
Yeah, he did that pretty quick.
Exactly, you know what I mean?
Now, I'm beginning to think that some of this was the same studio where they filmed Tower of Death, because a lot of this stuff looks the same.
I doubt it. Tower of Death was like...
You don't think so, dude? Like, the cave part? Not exactly this part, but some of the cave parts. I mean, some of it looks exactly, dude.
Yeah,
I haven't watched them side by side, so...
Yeah, but this is like 73. Tower of Death's like 79.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're probably right. Back then they totally demolished it, right? Exactly. They still did, but...
They probably used some... No, what it is, they used outtakes of End the Dragon as the backdrop. That's what
you're... Yeah, there you go, yeah.
Exactly, like, using some footage. This guy takes about 4 hours to cut the rope.
This guy shouldn't have cut the rope. He should have just went down it, man.
Ooh!
Mr. Han's got the worst bodyguard. Yeah. These guys can't do anything.
I love his headbutt, double headbutt, bang. It was bodyguards and shit, like, you know what I mean? But anyway, we'll see him getting trashed by Bolos shortly. He's Williams out in the moonlight.
I like his punch.
Exactly. Exactly. He's got my pajamas on again.
Yeah, I heard Jim Kelly hasn't aged much too. Like, he still looks the same.
He's after us.
I saw a documentary like in early 90s.
Yeah, he's
pretty still looks the same, dude.
His afro is a lot smaller. But as you'd expect, a human fly. I remember this bit, right? Because there always used to be an advert here. Because obviously I watched it a million times off TV. And those would be an advert just after the human fly bit. So I always expect there to be one even when I'm watching the DVD. It's going to be like cut to adverts.
And Bruce Lee just goes...
No, I'll get this scene here where the guy's talking in the background. Everyone goes over like, oh, it's a big mistake, blah, blah, blah. But, you know what I mean? If you fucking sat there listening to someone guy talk, you know what I mean? You can still talk yourself. You know, there's no unwritten rule that you have to pay attention because it's fucking Mr. Han, you know what I mean? So they can still talk in the background. Exactly. I mean, everyone gets like, oh, funny them guys talking in the background, you know what I mean? I mean, obviously, the director didn't say, make sure you're in the background talking, but, like, you know what I mean? There's not necessarily a mistake.
This is where Bruce Lee just goes nuts, dude. After these guards are killed, he just goes insane.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he feels responsible for what happened, man, and he just goes nuts after this, dude.
Exactly.
I mean, he was going to go nuts on Bob Wall anyways.
No, I'm not sure if Bailo mentioned, but you know I'll tell him when he gets there, but another guy who gets his neck broke when he, basically, Bolo knocks him down, the small, chubby guy.
Yeah, what about him?
Yeah. Apparently, it doesn't look anything like him, but I've read that's Mars, another guy who's Jackie Chan's mate in Dragon Lord, and he's also in Police Story. the guy who's always...
Mars.
Yeah,
Mars.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I've read that's him, but he looks nothing like him. But I don't know whether it's because he's like...
No, hold on. Not this guy, not that guy. Not the first guy.
No, not the first guy. I'll tell him.
It looks like him, dude.
This guy, do you think so?
You and Bia in the background?
It could be, actually. No, I'm looking at it now.
But, okay, yeah. I'm not talking about the guy where he's pulling his head up, dude, and snapping it. That's not Mars.
Are you sure?
Mars is a different guy, dude. I'll show you who Mars is, dude.
Okay.
He was in the spy scene. I think he died already. I think he was the first one to die.
Oh, right. Shit, man. Well, I remember reading it, and I always assumed it was that guy. Well, anyway.
No, Mars is one of these guys, and I'll fill you in on that later. I don't want to rewind.
He's not
one
of these.
I can't believe these. Some of these extras in the background, they actually did a really good job, man. Their faces,
yeah.
Man, they're like, holy
yeah.
Shit. And, I mean, it literally looks like they're getting killed here.
Yeah. That guy did really need to buff.
Yeah, I want to see Bruce Lee fight this guy so much. Oh.
Bolo, yeah. Well, there's all the photographs of him fighting him. I mean, everyone assumes, like, because there's a photograph, it means that footage was shot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, yeah, right.
No, those are just, like, photos, dude. It was like, photos. That's
yeah.
All that was.
Once William says this line, you know he's got to die. I mean, you can't take the piss out of Mr. Hyde.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's, like, totally, you know. You just don't.
Exactly. Look how pissed off Han is there. He's like, you fucking bastard. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah,
here
yeah.
Here you go. Mr. Lee. Dum, dum. I mean, we should mention Lalo Schifrin's score, because that is, like, without Lalo Schifrin's score, this would be like watching Star Wars or John Williams' music, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, dude, your score
you
is perfect for this movie. But I can't say the same for Rush Hour and Rush Hour 2, man. It's outdated, dude.
Well,
the Spin of Dragon made in 73, it gels, like,
it just cannibalized himself, didn't he? You know what I mean? I remember watching Rush Hour thinking, what the fuck, it's Enter the Dragon music, you know what I mean? You can tell, like, the fucking Brett Ratner sat there with his temp score and he's stuck Enter the Dragon on Rush Hour, and then when he's got Lalo Schifrin to do it, he's like, alright, just do something like that, and he's like, well, I made it myself, you know what I mean? Just,
yeah, exactly, I know, because it's still it's the same, man, it's the same crap.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Ennio Morricone, like, you know,
yeah,
using his own stuff, like you said.
Yeah, kind of like...
Kind of rehashing his own stuff, you know, just kind of arranging it a little bit different.
The thing is, Ennio Morricone's made, like, he's scored about 700 movies, and you can't write an individual score for every 700 one, and you're going to kind of use the same sort of similar themes. He's a flashback in a flashback in a flashback. Flashback.
Yeah, flashback with a flashback with a flashback. He skipped the first flashback. What did the second flashback?
No, was he stunt double D here for this flip? Is this the U and Y?
Oh, any flip you see, he was double D.
I must admit, right?
Bruce Lee just wasn't acrobatic. He was no Jackie Chan, man.
Yeah. I know, but having said that, no, I mean, I've never tried this myself, but I don't think it'd be that difficult. If I had the pads and stuff, I think I'd probably pull this off myself. Because
you would think Bruce Lee would try to master that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, the thing he does early, do you know when I said in the opening comedy where he's fighting M. Samo, and he does the, like, handspring, he gets punched, falls back, lands in a handspring position, springs back on, punches him. Like, I was always, I was never sure if that was Bruce Lee. But, I mean, I remember, like, my mate had watched this, like, a million times, and he tried to do the handspring thing, and he mastered it by watching Roper do it. Even though Roper's stunt doubled, this like later in the scene when he fights Bolo. But I remember he did it and he started doing handsprings. He's like, I'm going to do a handspring. I was like, you kidding me? He's like, no, he's just doing handsprings. And I tried and I could never do them for like years and I kind of eventually sort of managed to do them. But the fact is, my mate got like delusions of grandeur and he tried to do the one Bruce Lee does where he falls back into a handspring position, then flips up and he tried to do that and he broke his neck. He's like, Jesus, this is nightmare.
Well, Bruce Lee had a bad back too. I think that's one of the reasons why he tried to stay away from the.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
He had a seriously bad back, yeah.
Yeah.
But Yuen Wall, man, he does Bruce Lee pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, you got to give props to Bob Wall as well. He makes a hell of a fucking dummy to get punched about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude, Bob Wall. Yeah, this is Bob. So this is like the role Bob Wall was born to play, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of sucked in Way of the Dragon. I mean, in this one, he's just I think it's the beard.
He looks different, doesn't he? I remember when I first...
You know what? When I interviewed Bob Wall, he said he grew the beard out because it makes his face look more fuller and it makes him look mean, like bigger.
Yeah, because when I first got in the Bruce Lee world of things and you kind of watch different films, I always assumed that the Bob Baker in Fist of Fury was actually Bob Wall. I mean, because seriously, because I mean, I'd never seen Fist of Fury, so I'd see photographs.
You just got confused.
And I think, I because they always use the same actors in these sort of movies anyway, so I was like, alright, he's used Bob Wall again, I mean, and I'm like, and plus they've got the same sort of first name, you know what I mean? So I was like, Robert Wall, and I was like, oh, is that the same guy?
Yeah, what happened, man? He was like so fat in Fist of Fury.
Do you know you said earlier about Chow Yun-Fat being in it? You know what I mean? You said the guy looks like Chow Yun-Fat. Well, the guy in the background here looks like Jet Li.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll just say that Jet Li's in this as well. Charming Fat's in it, Jet Li.
Oh. Yeah, everyone's in this movie. Like, Chris Tucker's in the movie.
Yeah,
he was one of the Jim Kelly students.
Lau Shen Wang's in it with his turtleneck sweater on.
Yeah, turtleneck.
Oh, my nightmare. There's Jet Li behind Bruce Lee on the right.
Dude, Bob Wall looks like he's really dead.
Man. He may as well have been for whatever he did after this.
Side
kicks and fucking shit like that. Well, actually, no, he stunt doubles now.
Firewalker, dude, Firewalker.
I've seen that. Well, I haven't seen it again.
That's good, dude. Doing yourself a favor.
Right, there's Jet Li. Jet Li again. He's gone back with his posse.
He's getting his hands ready, dude.
Absolutely love it. This scene is fucking awesome. Like, shot in a big long-angle lens where he just, like, walks through not while hitting anyone. If you try to, like, I try to do that when I'm walking, like, down in, like, a busy... Like, I'm downtown and there's, like, really busy, loads of people about, and just can't do, like, a Bruce Lee walk without getting hit, but you just can't do it.
I can just picture you doing that, dude.
Exactly, just some walking, dude. I'm not going to move, but you just end up bumming in.
Someone happens to look at you like, what the hell?
Exactly. I'm going to have to do an ecstatic.
You got to do that. Do that scene on one of your next films.
I will do. Oh, man.
Yeah, I can't believe you didn't do like a Bruce Lee thing, dude.
I've told you, we can't really go into this because there's so much baggage we're going to have to attach to it and we're going to talk about it for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
But basically, yeah, I've done something like that and I'll hook you up with it sooner or later.
Sweet.
Anyway, fucking Williams. About to get beaten up.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Giza, whatever. whatever his name, man, he's a low-budget filmmaker, man, but he makes some serious cool shit.
Yeah. Now I've said that. Now you've said that now, and everyone's going to be like, "Well, hyped up." Oh shit!
Okay, right. This is the Jizza and MBM. I'm back slightly cock up there. Basically, a battery ran out, and this is actually a week later. We've actually listened to the first part of the commentary, and we've decided to do a bit of research this time. So hopefully, the second part will be a bit more informative. Anyway, we're back here, and Williams is getting told off by Mr. Han. Hello, mighty Peking man. How are you doing?
What's the haps on the craps, man? I'm doing good.
Right, cool. Do you want to speak up a bit? Because I was coming across a bit low there.
Okay. Right. How's that?
Yeah, that's fine. One thing that's always bothered me about this until like the other week when I was watching this again is I've always been wondered why the hell Williams actually gets beat by Mr. Han. Because Mr. Han's absolutely useless. I mean, in the final fight with Bruce Lee, he gets a couple of punches on him, but other than that, he's absolutely shit. Whereas the only reason... Exactly. The only reason Williams loses here is because he's been up all night with the fucking five women. You know what I mean? He's completely, like, lost. You know what I mean? He's absolutely...
Well, the bird, man. The bird has, like, a poison beak or something, man.
The bird fucked him up.
But
it's exactly... But, I mean, it's just... In fact, he's been up with the women all night. You know what I mean? All five of them, so he's completely spent. So now he's fighting.
Yeah.
He doesn't get up to it. You know what I mean? Absolutely scandalous.
Yeah, I mean, it's, the viewer really wants Jim Kelly to win, of course. Not because he's a good guy, but, I mean, just because it's more...
Yeah.
Theoretically, he should win. I mean, he's,
Han. Just on, like, on paper, because if you see Mr. Han in the final fight against Bruce Lee, there's nothing really flash about him. I mean, they had to put this fight scene in to sort of give the baddie sort of some sort of menace so he could have a shot.
Yeah.
And obviously, the only thing he's got his metal hand that he uses, and he pummels Williams to death here, which he does a very good job of. But other than that, I mean, skill-wise, he's just a 60-year-old man by the looks of things.
Yeah, exactly. But I think if anybody throws a punch at you with a big ass, I mean, all you gotta do is get one good punch, you know, with a metal hand. And
exactly.
And when Bruce Lee was fighting him, of course, he had that knife, so. I don't know, man. I mean.
Exactly. I hear all these were prostitutes as well. If you hired.
That's what I heard. This scene, as a kid, this scene used to freak me out, man. I mean, I used to get freaked out when
I was
a kid.
It's all the colors, I think, and all the music and stuff.
It's all psychedelic, man. It's all, Marilyn Monroe getting her face splashed.
Actually, the prostitutes got paid more in this movie than the rest of the cast did. I think the prostitutes were getting about $150 a day. And, like, the other cast were getting, like, you know, Angela Mau got paid $150 for her 2 days work. And, like,
well, that's
crap. Exactly. And, like, you know, I mean, the cameraman and stuff like that, they were getting, like, $250 a week.
I think these prostitutes are serving dual roles, though, man.
Exactly.
They're doing stuff on the screen and doing some stuff on the side, also.
Exactly. I mean,
the
budget of this movie was only about, like, $500,000. And it made...
Was that
exactly.
Was that low budget at the time? Was that low
budget?
Well,
at the time, for Hollywood, I mean, Hong Kong Hollywood production. Hong Kong, I mean, I think Big Boss and Fist of Fury, they were shot for about 125,000.
Oh, really? Okay.
Where the Dragon, Bruce Lee got a lot more, but I mean, it still wasn't. It wasn't a half a million.
It looks like, I mean, the production looks pretty good. I mean, it looks like they, you know, they use every penny.
Yeah, you
know,
all the stuff
they were counted.
This stuff looks like.
I mean, the sets look like, you know, something out of a James Bond movie, which James Bond movies were pretty high budget at the time.
What we're missing here, you know, I was talking about earlier about the remastered version they used from the Chinese print. It didn't have the music cues.
Okay.
Well, this music cue is missing off this one, which really hurts the scene. It's basically tension sort of music that kind of builds up to where, like, an old souvenir, and obviously his old hands are being chopped off. And it basically runs into the guillotine scene where he puts the cat down. And obviously he puts the cat down, and it's got a lot of, like, tension scene, the strings and stuff, but with it not there. If it wasn't there initially, you probably wouldn't notice it, but because you've been familiar with it, it just really sort of, the scene's just, like, really dead air. It just doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
So, like, I really wish you could get the older, the non sort of 25th anniversary version on DVD. It came out over here originally, but it was obviously cut to bits before they'd, like, reinstated the nunchucks. So, damn shame. I was actually reading a bit about this scene where, basically, when they were filming this, it was Roper's, it was supposed to, like, the final day of shooting, basically, and Roper was due to catch a plane home on, like, the next day. And basically, they'd got this hydraulics thing, apparently, that to bring the lift down. And they were having difficulty with it. It just wasn't working at all right. And all the crew were saying, like, oh, it's blah, blah, we're having problems with this, blah, blah. We'll get it working for tomorrow. And Robert Klaus was like, oh, you sure? Because I've got to get John Saxon on a plane tomorrow. He just want to come in and film in if you cannot help it. Anyway, like, basically what had happened is that they didn't have a hydraulics thing at all. It was just four blocks with blocks of wood with a crank on each leg. And they actually had to crank it down in time, like, with each other. Otherwise, it wouldn't come down smoothly. And Robert Klaus didn't actually find this out until, like, the next day when they filmed it, and it worked fine. And he said, oh, did you get the hydraulics sorted? He said, no, he said all the four blocks stayed up the whole night practicing this thing so they could crank it down in the sink without cocking it up. And I was like, basically, how they managed to get the lift thing to work. Interesting. But anyway, like, this scene without music on is just, it's not half as good.
Yeah, I don't even remember, exactly. So they moved a lot of things around in this 25th anniversary edition.
Well, it's just they were missing from the original Chinese one. There was I read the music from the actual scene where Pat Jackson bit with the fight at the beginning, where he fights the goons. That was as a score in the background, but that's actually on the 25th anniversary, but it is on the Chinese print, so it's kind of like mix and match job. They obviously called, like, the Lalo Schifrin original stereo sound score, because I mean it was obviously shot in mono back in 73, but obviously they remastered 5.1 for the DVD re-release.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all these sets are actually made out of, like basically chicken wire, wood, and just mud.
Yeah, chicken wire, and it was all, I heard it was all popping off as they were filming, so they had to, like, pull it together as they're, like, doing each scene.
Exactly. So I was going to say.
This scene right here,
right,
where he meets some of Han's, quote-unquote, daughters.
I bet that it does.
It's from, straight out of James Bond movie,
exactly.
I think.
They might die.
I think it was Diamonds Are Forever, where Sean Connery gets flipped just like John Saxon does.
Yeah.
What came first? Diamonds Are Forever?
Diamonds Are Forever was the Bond film that opened previously.
Oh, that's right. It was 1970. It was like 1970 exactly.
It was
this is a couple years.
71. Because as a matter of fact, it kind of worked both ways, because this ripped off Dr. No's script as far as the Bond film's concerned. But by the time this came out and this was so successful, by the time that kind of had fed into the James Bond sort of thing, Roger Moore kind of did the Man with Golden Gun has got, like, a shitload of, like, kung fu.
And also, Live and Let Die has a cave scene that's similar to this.
Well, that was made the same year, so it probably wasn't influenced as much. But, I mean, Man with Golden Gun's definitely, I mean, it was shot in Hong Kong as well. Man with Golden Gun was all, like, from South China Sea.
They probably had the same guy in the crew, you know, changing ideas.
Every time I look at this, like, obviously, it's supposed to be opium in the cooker, but it looks like a lamb chili. I don't know if you ever cooked a lamb chili.
I was thinking caramel, man.
Oh, whatever. Maybe it looks nice.
It's like chili.
It's at least, oh, man.
It probably is chili, man. I mean, come on, dude. They're not going to waste their time trying to make some kind of, you know. They probably bought like fucking 40 cans of Hormel chili.
Exactly. I was going to ask you this earlier. Have you ever seen Enter the Dragon in a cinema?
Oh no, I missed it, man.
I know you would have missed it because it would have been less got re-released stuff. But when I
yeah, it got re. Yeah, obviously I missed it back in 73. But I mean, I missed it again because for some reason I always thought it was going to be a big re-release. You know, like what they did with Exorcist, but It only played, I mean, where I live, it only played.
I know what you're saying.
I didn't even know it played. It barely played. It was like an art house movie.
Well, it didn't get actually a theatrical re-release. I mean, since the age of video and everything, no one really gets as many. They don't re-release films so much in the cinema. But I mean, when I first moved to London, they basically have a shitload more cinemas here than they do where I came from originally. And basically it was like 2000, it was the Chinese New Year. And basically they put one of the cinemas put like a load of Hong Kong films on. And Enter the Dragon was one of them. And this was before there was the censorship was lifted, so I knew it would be cut. But I was still like, hello, I'm going to see Enter the Dragon in the cinema. So I remember buying a ticket sort of a couple of days before, so I'd make sure I get one. I was like the first one to get a ticket, so I was like, right, whatever. Went getting this sort of cinema sort of thing, and it starts up. I mean, it was one of the best experiences I've ever had in the cinema. Just like watching it.
Oh, really?
The whole audience, I'm talking like about 80% of the audience had seen it before several times, and like the other 20% were like from people who've been brought along with other people to say, oh, you've got to watch this movie. But it was quite interesting watching the movie because everyone was kind of like voicing the lines before they were getting said. Not like necessarily.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Not out loud.
It's not like you're watching the movie for the first time. It's everyone that's watching it is like pretty much like a fan.
But you did get quite a few people who had not seen it because they were like really impressed with like, remember when Bruce Lee does the flip on O'Hara and kicks him in the face? People were like, wow. You know what I mean? As if they hadn't seen it before. It's like, ooh. It's like really buzzing, definitely. Like, I mean, if ever, like, it's never been on since, but if it ever does come on, I'm definitely catching it in the cinema.
So yeah, I've never seen any Bruce Lee movie in the theaters. No.
Yeah, that's the one. I must have been Enter the Dragon. I've seen. Must be the scene where Williams just being cut down. I think the original poster has got like a picture of Williams hanging in the corner. Like, no, that the shot of him on the chains there. The original poster's basically.
Oh, is that what it has?
Yeah, it's kind of a spoiler because remember it was always cut out of the when they cut the nunchucks out of the original British version. They actually cut the poster. And instead of Bruce Lee holding nunchucks, they made it into a whole staff, so he looked like he was holding like a little stumpy staff, which is ridiculous. But also the...
Are you serious?
The
UK poster, right?
Yeah, the UK poster. But they also removed Williams from the side. But in removing Williams from the side, it was quite good, because it's kind of a spoiler for the film. Because if you pick the box up,
huh?
I mean, even the DVD box now, if you look at it, you can see Williams dangling from the side. I'm not sure if
you can see him hanging there, which I don't know why...
Exactly, it's a bit of a spoiler if you haven't seen
it. Yeah, it's like they show him like doing his thing with his hands on the cover, and at the same time they show him that he's pretty much dead.
Exactly. Well, what can you do? I'll tell you what we should speak about. Basically, do you know the documentary that basically was shot for this, which is about 10 minutes long, it's on the other side of the DVD? Well, pretty much the guy who shot that was like, called Henry Wong, and he shot like about 5 hours worth of footage for like that documentary. And basically what they did, they got this footage together, shipped it back to New York, and it was basically, went back to New York and they edited the 5 hours down to 10 minutes for the documentary. And then unfortunately, they fucking binned the 4 hours, 50 minutes of footage that they'd shot. And a lot of that footage was supposed to include, most of it was all Bruce Lee. And a lot of it was actually, do you know when you used to get challenged by the extras?
Yeah.
Like, they'd be standing around and
everything. Yeah, back then, if you weren't using it, they threw it away. But nowadays, you know.
Yeah. But there was like loads of
kind of some guy picking his nose while probably putting on the special features on the damn DVD.
Exactly.
You know?
What's the sod's
like? But back then, it's like, whatever they didn't use was gone. I mean, they didn't know Bruce Lee was going to be big. He was just some.
Yeah.
They just didn't think about it.
Well, yeah, I know. That's what I mean. They used to bin it straight away. Which is quite ironic because the fact that, like, no, I mean, all the people going about these challenge fights that Bruce is getting, whether he's a good enough fighter in real life and all this stuff. Well, the footage of challenging the extras, that'd have been, like, the most rare footage of all, you know what I mean? Real life fighting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's lost.
There's a power drawer right there. I never noticed that.
Guys with nunchucks.
Yeah, you could see some of the cave, man. If you look closely, you could see some chipping off right there.
Yeah, but I mean, for the budget, I mean, James Bond moves. The James Bond movie that sort of made the same time as this was like, well, we said Diamonds Forever, that was like, I mean, that was about $5 million that would have been budgeted at. I mean, and this is like, not even, I mean, this is like $500,000, you know what I mean? So for what money they did, they spent it wisely, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, they definitely spent it wisely. I mean, I don't even think today they can make a film that looks as good as this with the budget, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's all digital these days. You can't hire humans to do anything anymore. They'd rather get, like, CGI actor to do it for them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, what's up with these babes? I don't call them babes, but what's
well, they might
look like, you know what they look like? They look like the Charles Manson babes.
Yeah, they might screw up well, but, you know what I mean, get a bit of lipstick on them.
Like, so stereotypical 70s face and...
Yeah.
Oh, this is classic, man. This thing coming up.
Snake. I think we mentioned earlier he got bit by the snake. I think it was on the ninth take or something. It kept smacking the snake on top of the head and then it finally bit him.
Yeah.
Unsurprisingly. Yeah, basically this was shot. I found out it was basically shot from like the beginning of February till the end of March. It was only shot for like about a sort of month. Yeah, 2 months. And I mean, Bruce Lee didn't turn up for the first 2 weeks because he was like, basically,
yeah, that's right.
Pretty much didn't want to turn up on the set because fucking Klaus was directing. He said, "Get him off the set, and I'll come in and film my scenes."
That snake, man, looks like it got bigger.
Yeah, well, it looks like a bit fake until it sort of snarls at him here. I mean, the world isn't. I tell you what, I forgot to mention earlier. Do you know the scene where the boards don't hit back with? Well, basically, there was some more footage supposedly exists of that where it's basically this was on the Anna Capri footage. You know, like basically she shot loads of super 8mm footage on the set, and basically like he's got Bruce Cha-Cha dancing and spying with Bolo and stuff. Well, apparently there's a shot of the scene where it's the boards don't hit back and. Basically, Bruce is actually mouthing dialogue, so initially it was like, he came back with a more cocky retort, as opposed to just like, you know what I mean, he didn't say anything, does he? Just looks at the last, boards, well, obviously he says boards don't hit back, but I mean, he sort of spilled a lot more sort of stuff off, but obviously it was cut because I thought it was a bit of a, when being a Shaolin monk. There's Paul Heller saying more there in that scene than he does in the whole
movie. Oh, yeah,
you know, I didn't even know that. Yeah, it was. That's
the only time, actually. Does he even point that out in his commentary?
That is the only time he wakes up. You can see he's done the commentary for no other reason that he wants to sort of say it with that.
Yeah, the whole commentary is bored. All of a sudden he's on there. That's me.
Exactly, yeah. He's like half asleep and he wakes up. By the way, there's a handsome actor there. It's like, yeah, right.
Hey, wonder if Bruce Lee already knew the Morse code. Wonder if he had to learn it a couple days before.
It's probably just in sort Kong of Kong. Written in, yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on, dude. He's a Shaolin monk pretty much. And
written in his psyche.
He's pretty got a good memory, man, to memorize that shit.
Right, we're going to have to shout these guys out here. If I know them, I'll shout them out. First guy, I'm not sure who
he is. Okay, go for it. That is your job. I only know one,
right,
so.
Okay. I'm not sure who that guy is. Right, not sure who these two guys are, but the next guy is, it's Yuen Wah with a tash.
Yeah, Yuen Wah.
No, that's Lam Ching Ying with a bit of a stubbly beard there.
Who's that guy? That guy has a big headband.
Well, yeah, I thought it was Mr. Vampire. Lam Ching Ying. Those stunt doubles.
Okay.
Mr. Han. I love this shot here. It looks like the Hulk. I mean, like slow-mo walking on the camera.
Yeah.
Right, not sure who this guy is, but this guy coming on here. There, that guy there, Yuen Wah with a tash. And then he's
the guy in blue? Oh, the guy with the bum
tash. Yeah, there's Jackie Chan.
There you go. Snap.
This is what you get for trying to nick my career. I ain't next.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I think it was well worth it, though.
Exactly, yeah. But, like, that's what I mean. It's like, I didn't realise that until, like, years after watching it. You know what I mean? I'd got in the Jackie Chan album and then didn't realise, but obviously then, sort of, wow, with Jackie Chan's in Enter the Dragon.
Yeah, Jackie Chan, if anything, is, I mean, he makes it a point to really mess up Jackie Chan, man. It's like he knows something, man.
Exactly, sort of like a sixth sense, isn't it? Foreshadowing.
You know, a lot of these guys are probably the same guy. They just dress
them up. Yeah, well, they do the trick where they just run past the camera a couple of times because you can't really tell when I'm sort of lenses. Well, actually, the whole of this film was actually shot with two cameras and three lenses. Because they actually got to Hong Kong.
Really?
Yeah, they got to Hong Kong and they were like shooting like anamorphically Panavision. And the original cinematographer was this Japanese guy. And when they got there, like, they realised he wasn't going to work out right because he couldn't speak any English. And not only could he not speak English, he couldn't speak Cantonese either. So it was like, they're translating, it was just like a waste of time. So they kind of got rid of this guy. And basically hired this other guy who'd like, the Yellow Pages, who was like a Hollywood sort of, I mean, he could work sort of from Hong Kong without this being in the unions and stuff. Like, Gilbert Hubs, I think. Basically, but the thing is, he'd only ever shot stuff on 16mm, like, documentary style. He'd never used, like, anamorphic lenses. So, like, on the flight from America to Hong Kong, he's, like, swatting up on all his, like, how to, like, shoot with, like, low light and all sorts of stuff and, like, shallow focus and stuff. Like, he needed, like, the 2.35 lenses. But I mean, as far as that's concerned, those two cameras we used, you know what I mean?
That's pretty good for two cameras,
yeah. Exactly. I like to say a lot of the stuff he said earlier was basically the chicken wire and mud, so that it might make sure they didn't hit any of the walls and stuff for the bodies, otherwise it'd just rip right through them. And a lot of them, them drunken guys were actually literally drunken guys who were picked up.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah, they're actually real homeless drunk guys.
Yeah, they were.
And what do? They don't even pay them. They just give them more food.
We were fucking well pissed off about getting pulled in there because it was sweaty as hell in the set because it was like really hot. I tell you what about low budget information. Like, I'm trying to top your thing about the American Ninja guy. But basically, I'm doing my research for this second part. Basically, this guy turned up on set. This Hong Kong, American businessman who was working in Hong Kong. And he's basically turned up on set, and he was like, and he sold jeans and wigs in Hong Kong, made his fortune that. And he turned up on the set one day. That was Jackie Chan getting hit in the water, by the way. Basically, he turned up on the set one day, and he was wanting to get into sort of film producing and stuff. And this guy turned out to be like Andrew Vanja, who basically was the guy who went on to produce, like, normally co-founded Coralco Studios and made like Rambo and like Total Recall and all that sort of stuff. And ironically, made The Crow, which was obviously the shelved one. I mean, they went bankrupt with Cutthroat Island stuff. But anyway, that's the way I'm linking into, like, the Lee legacy. So, like, Crow was the last Bruce Lee movie, Brandon Lee. Mm-hmm. He's a skilly deck. You can tell it's, like, mud there. It looks like cake mix on the wall, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks like, yeah, I know. They did, like, a really sloppy job here. Mm-hmm. Now, this part, when I was a kid, this when he goes to the battle with the gun, that part, I thought it was, like, a net. When I was a kid, I'm thinking, you know, the first few times you watch it.
Yeah.
Because I think I watched the movie the first, like, the same time Conan came out. And I always thought that it was a narration. Like, it just busted out some narration right away. You know, the battle with the gods was excellent.
You've missed it.
I thought they were pulling, like, a Conan thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You've missed it there, right? But if you go back on the DVD, basically, when the woman comes in there to pour the tea, the production's so low budget, they haven't even afforded any milk. She pours the milk, and it's just fucking water. Swear to God, the pour it in there, and it's not even milk. This is another music cue missing. Usually goes diddle diddle diddle. But that's completely missing from this version. It completely hurts it, so it comes out now and it's just silent with flags waving. But they're the two sort of music scenes you miss, the Cap Guillotine one and this one. But obviously for that you get the Jim Kelly music, which isn't on it, but it's kind of a compromise.
The Jim Kelly music. I wonder if they just, they drug John Saxon. They're just like, you're putting our clothes, get the hell out of here. He didn't look too happy, man. I mean, wonder what happened between all that. They've, like, got them,
Because Bruce Lee's gone and got changed. He's got his, like,
Yeah. We're going to kill you tonight, but first, put your baggy pants on.
Yeah, have a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
Edification? What are you talking about? Oh, man. They complete sort of two styles.
Look how cut Bruce Lee is compared to Bolo there.
Well, that's what I mean. Do you want to talk about his physique? Because, basically, there's a big difference between Bruce Lee's physique in this movie and Bruce Lee's physique in his other movies.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, what's your take on that? Yeah, what's your take on the fact that he's a lot thinner in this, and he's lost a lot of body weight than he has in something like Where the Dragon? I mean, like, the big things are, like, no, I mean, he was basically... we can go into the whole theory about how he died anyway, but, I mean, my whole take on the business, the whole thing anyway, is that this is, like, his first Hollywood movie. He's, like, nervous as hell about making it, sort of thing.
Oh, he wants to look good, yeah.
And he wants to look unbelievably good in it, sort of thing. And he's just completely overworked himself. No, I mean, he's just, like, he's trained to death, basically. And the reason he's lost so much weight is because he's just, like, no, I mean, he's not eating just enough, he's not resting, he's just doing, like, non-stop exercise.
Yeah. And that's probably why he was 2 weeks late on the set. Maybe he just wanted to use another 2 weeks to get, in the gym, man. He spent, like, 24-7 in the gym for that whole 2 weeks.
But saying that, I prefer his physique in Where the Dragon than I do in this, to be honest with you. I love his haircut in Where the Dragon as well. It's, like, slightly different with the sort of, I think, Betty.
Oh, Where the Dragon?
Yeah, his haircut and that.
Yeah, it seems Where the Dragon, when he was just, he looked physically the best in that movie.
Yeah.
He was pretty big.
This is very much, a lot of Bruce Lee movies are, but I mean, this is, like,
but it's funny, even in the Game of Death, which was filmed, a few months before
September 72 type time, really.
It seemed like he lost a lot of weight from Game of Death also.
Yeah. Well, they say that, don't they, because he's wearing his tracksuit and stuff, but I mean, I've seen still shots of him, and he doesn't look much different. He still doesn't look like the same as the Weird Dragon thing. It's because his hair, I think it's his hair, you can sort of spot on the photographs. What sort of
hair? Hair could actually do a lot, man. I mean, you know, it could be some kind of an illusion since his hair. He almost has an afro in this movie, so it makes everything else look
exactly
relatively smaller. Who knows?
He's chomping on Bolo's leg.
Bolo's one guy that barely ages too, man. The guy's like, he's at least 50 something.
Yeah, it's actually interesting because he was actually called Young C before he was called Bolo, wasn't he? Like, in the credits in this.
Yeah, until he did 500 Bruce Lee movies where
he just cashed in off the name. I mean, it's a guy lying down there. Is that a guy lying down because she's hit him?
I didn't catch it. What guy lying down?
There's a blue guard lying down there, and I'm thinking, is that guy still lying there from the previous fight with Bruce Lee? Like, he's still laid out. I'm getting nunchucks.
I didn't even see that. Maybe it's James Tien from Game of Death.
But exactly. No, she probably was.
Oh, man. He still thinks he's doing Game of Death. Yeah. What film are we on?
Knocked out, man. Oh, man. Another sound effect missing. Basically, you won't be really because we've got the sound muted. But basically, there's an off-camera kick. Usually, you're supposed to get kicked to the throat at the final death blow, and there's a smack now, but you never hear it on this 26th anniversary version. All the others, you hear, like, a last blow off-camera. Because originally, I think he got kicked in the throat, but somewhere down the line, they've cut,
really?
That, cut that out. Because
Well, I mean, it was definitely a cop-out, man. That fight was definitely...
I know.
John Saxon beat him way too easy and way too fast.
Exactly.
No way.
The old guy in the background laughing his cock off. And get the guy gets kicked 3 times.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the extras either, they're a bit sloppier than the ones that...
Look at it. Join the Navy.
Yeah, exactly.
Call now. Call now, dude. It's a stock footage for some commercial.
Yes, it is. Oh, man.
Ding Ling! Chang Ling! Chang Ling! Gah!
Danny White!
Join him! Kill!
Man.
Yeah, I had a. I used to say that I had an ex girlfriend who was Taiwanese, and I would just like fuck around, and then I go Chang Ling, Chang Ling, and then white. Then she's all, dude, why do you just? What, you know what that means? And I go, oh, it actually means something. She goes, yeah, it means kill.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh shit.
Kill. Good.
I guess the top part means kill.
Yeah. Seems so. Oh man. Some wickedly choreographed stuff. This must have rehearsed.
Oh, this is great, man. This is great right here.
What
I like about the promos is there's no slow motion shit.
The music's really cool in this scene as well. Like Lalo's really sort of picked up on it. If you look at the bottom.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at the bottom right. You see Bruce there. Bottom right, direct action. He's just gone out the shot there. But it's basically off camera sort of thing. While he didn't realize he was in shot. That's gone now. But yeah. But I mean, yeah, the music is just like, I mean, all the hi hats and cymbals when they're kicking. They're usually kicked into actually the beat and stuff. And it's just like, I mean. It's good to go and isolate the score on this DVD because you can kind of flip
it. Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, Lalo Schifrin's score is perfect, man. But like I said earlier, I mean, you don't get the guy back in 2001 to do Rush Hour.
Yeah, well, I don't
know. It's outdated.
It's just that you can't. That sort of jazz-sized music doesn't really work these days. I mean, Lalo Schifrin, I mean, he's done other great scores than this, don't I mean, like the Dirty Harry scores, stuff like that. I mean, the class and obviously the Mission Impossible. But I mean, these days, I mean, he works for Pavarotti and people like that now, I think.
Yeah.
And this is Lam Ching Ying again here, not coming up in a minute. He breaks the guy's staff before he gets into his stunt costume. That guy's punched him in the brawn. Then he goes and gets changed to stunt double Mr. Han.
Yeah, this is a well done, man. I mean, this must have been hard to film.
Barney Bear clone.
Yeah.
Is this actually your favourite Bruce Lee movie? What would you say?
You should have... Wait, this is your favorite Bruce Lee movie?
No, I'm just asking you if it is.
Oh, no. I like all the Bruce Lee movies, but my favorite, the one I watch the most, is The Big Boss.
Yeah. Well, my mind's probably Where the Dragon, but now I say watch it most. The thing is that a lot of people get confused when I sort of talk about what your favorite film is, and they always think if you've watched it more times, like, you know, if you watch it loads and loads of times, they think they're going to be the favorite. I mean, I've seen Enter the Dragon more times than any other Bruce Lee film, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's my favorite Bruce Lee film. It just means it's the most watchable. No, I mean, it's like...
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's like... I mean, if I put it on, like...
I know what you mean.
Exactly, yes.
I mean, the best made movie is obviously End of the Dragon, but I mean, some of them just have more... You can watch them more, because they're just more entertaining.
Yeah,
Way of the Dragon is my least... For some reason, Way of the Dragon is the least
favorite. Yeah.
And that's funny, because that one should be the... That one's like... It should be the greatest. It's got the makings of something that should be the greatest, you know? It's got a simple plot. You know, a guy helps, you know, his Chinese fellows, you know, take on the Italian whatever the mobsters, you know, the Chinese restaurant.
It's written in
dialogue. And you know, the one thing about Way of the Dragon is the choreography is it's crisp, man. I mean, it's Bruce Lee at his best, you know, choreography on that movie.
The thing is,
Way of the Dragon is just the most polished, man. Way of the Dragon is like the most polished.
Well, yeah,
but it's the martial arts Gone with the Wind.
Exactly.
Or Citizen Kane.
I really want him to get, like, I mean, try all sorts of different hand things on. I mean, he sticks this one on, he just sticks it, doesn't he? But there's all like that. I want to see him, like, a dangly one. You know, like the fist with a chain on the end.
Yeah.
We never get to use that one. I mean, in Kentucky Fried Movie, he's got, like, a dildo in one scene. I mean...
Are you serious, man?
I swear to God, there's this thing where he's with this woman, and the woman goes, that was extraordinary magnitude or whatever, and he goes, thank you, and he, like, pulls his dildo off his hand and then puts, like, a toothbrush thing and starts brushing his teeth. Might as well. Like, basically,
No,
I was just going to say, a lot of the scenes here are Lam Ching Ying. Like, when you can tell blatantly if you, like, keep an eye on Mr. Han. All the scenes where he's having to fall on his back, because obviously a 60-year-old man's not going to fall on his back on plain wood, but yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Han, I guess he doesn't believe in actually poking him with those knives. He likes to slash him instead.
Exactly, I know.
Like Bruce Lee.
I mean, there's one scene where he has when Bruce has his back turned, you know, perfectly to him. It's like a perfect opportunity to.
Yeah.
Just stab him, man, but he decides to slice him instead, man. Well, like, what the hell?
He was dead slow, like, when like, Bruce Lee has got a lot of groin strains shooting this scene, because he was, like, pulling his kicks and stuff, and, like, Mr. Hands, like, was really, like, slow on camera.
Okay, my question is, who the hell laughs when they're both in the air, man? Someone laughs, you're
But yeah, it's just, like, the slow-down voice in it off him. It sounds like a sort of laugh. But I love the, like, I mean, this is a cliche now, but I mean, the lick the blood and then spit it out. But, like, done to death. I mean, it's in Big Boss as well, so I think most of the Bruce Lee movies.
Yeah, Bruce Lee likes the blood, man. Yeah. He likes to show his damage, too.
We forgot to mention the, I'm not sure if I did mention it, but, like, you know, the original title of this was Blood and Steel, the original script.
Yeah, there were two other titles also.
Yeah, well, it was...
The actual script was called Blood and Steel, right?
Yeah, and then what happened is when they went to get Bruce Lee to sign on and sort of sample the film, he was actually shooting We're the Dragon, but that was originally called Enter the Dragon. And then, so what he said, well, Enter Dragon might be a better name, he said, so do you want me to hold that over and rename my movie and we'll save Enter Dragon for his big Breakthrough America movie? So he did that, so they held out for that, and he changed Enter Dragon to We're the Dragon, and that got released, like, Christmas 72. And then,
oh,
and then 73,
I didn't know that.
And then basically, where they turned the shot, what do you call it, turned the shot, this, hang on, I'm getting it's from the phone here. Right, by the time they shot this, basically it was, I'm mumbling, hang on. This was got called Enter Dragon, they used Enter Dragon name to that. Then when it went over to America and they were finally editing, they wanted to rename it Hans Island. Because they weren't sure about Enter Dragon. Because, I mean, Enter Dragon really doesn't sound like... It was like, what the hell is it? God Dragon, is it a fantasy movie? You know what I mean? Until it came out, but I mean, now it's kind of standardly, it's a Bruce Lee movie type thing.
Yeah, wasn't it, they also had another title, wasn't it called, like, The Deadly Three?
I think that's a rumour come from the trailers. Because the trailer goes like, Williams, Roper, Lee.
Deadly Three.
Exactly. And a lot of people have obviously seen the trailer and not had it on DVD to go over it and realise it was a trailer and kind of got it in memory and gone to our Internet Movies Database and whacked in like, oh, our alternate title was Deadly Three, because I read that when I first came out thinking about
it. That title doesn't really go with the movie. I mean, it's not like, you know, not like the damn Charlie Angel or anything.
Yeah. I'm getting a lot of interference. I know it's my side of yours, but if you're near a TV, walk away. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, if you're near a TV with your phone, then it'll fuck up the transmission, because I'm getting a bit of interference from somewhere.
Oh, you're getting interference right now? What about now?
It's okay now. I was getting some earlier.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, best talk about this, the mirror scene. Pretty much this is just like about a 30-foot square room with another 6-foot square room in the middle of it, which is all covered in mirrors. I mean, it looks like a big hall of mirrors, but it's basically just a box with another box inside it. And basically, they put the camera inside a box of mirrors, so that's how they don't pick the reflection up. So you can never really see the camera looking at the reflections, because it's kind of like you're going to get infinite reflections.
Yeah.
Within the mirrors. But obviously, because of all the mirrors and the lights and stuff, it was like unbelievably hot.
I've never really been a big fan of this whole mirror scene. I thought it was always annoying and slow.
Do you think so? Well, to be fair.
Until Bruce Lee starts hitting the glass, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, this is an iconic scene. I mean, just a still from this defines Enter the Dragon, you know what I mean? I mean, if you ever see, like, I mean, there's an image coming up, I'll shout it out when it gets there, but it's like the iconic image of Enter the Dragon. Just like the shots of, like, multiple Bruce Lees in, like, the mirror.
Oh, yeah. The part where the monk kicks in, where, you know, he has a flashback, is that something that they did just for the 25th anniversary?
Yeah, that is. There's a slightly different, if you compare the two of them, there's a slightly different, you've got like this new monk scene in the but you also miss another slight scene of Bruce Lee in the other version. So it's kind of like, you kind of pick and choose, but I mean, I thought I prefer it with the monk thing, but having said that, I don't like the original monk scene anyway. I mean, this shot here is like an iconic Enter Dragon shot. It's like the shots within his face in the mirror. It's just after this. Basically, this Lam Ching Ying roll towards the camera. He gets up here and Bruce Lee goes like, huh, and he like looks over his shoulder to see where he is. That's missing, and now we cut to this 25th anniversary one where basically he gets a monk flashback.
So they did do that. They did just for this.
Yeah, because I mean, when I must have first watched it, I thought they'd just put the voiceover on, and I literally went back and checked the two of them, and then you realise it's actually a new scene that they've added the voiceover as well.
I see.
Because if they took the voice off here, it would have looked a bit weird because he's kind of like thinking to himself.
Yeah.
I know.
hell breaks loose. And obviously he's got a bit of metal in his fist here when he's smashing the glass. I mean, this is probably, they all go about this, like, the curse of the dragon and all this, like, the legacy of the Lees, and they're all, like, cursed and stuff. The reason they're fucking cursed is because they've smashed a million mirrors. I mean, I don't know what it's like.
Yeah, exactly.
Seven years bad luck for one mirror. You're talking, like, the next 2,000 years, the fucking knackered, the whole millennium.
Oh, yeah. That's where the curse comes from, man.
Exactly, no.
Mirrors.
Exactly, no wonder. It's like, I mean, this was
damn mirrors, yeah.
This was one of the last scenes, not one of the last scenes shot, but I mean, this was shot, like, March time. And then, Bruce was dead, July. No, I mean, the poor synced. I mean, this got released August. I mean, this actually raked in, I told about the worldwide box office, was about 150 million. That was, at the time of release. It was 150 million, considering it cost, $500,000, dollars. So, being one of the most successful, sort of, ratioed films, sort of, from the price it made to the price it cost to the price it pulled in.
This is another cop-out, man. Just the whole,
The original ending, he was going to impale himself on his own hand.
Hand?
Yeah, that was in the script. He was originally going to impale himself on his own sort of knife.
See, that would have been better, or maybe both would be better.
Well, they came up with
that. Have him get his own hand, then throw him into the pool.
Yeah, and then they came up with that on set, but I don't know what hell claims did it. If you look close to this, you can see, a belt.
You know, for a guy... For Bruce Lee, for a guy that was really confused in the mirror room, he found his way up pretty quick.
Well,
but then again, I guess the pole
helped. Yeah, it kind of gives it away.
Yeah.
Not to mention when there's no one in there trying to kill you, it's kind of quite easy to find out. It's only like a 12-foot square. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
man.
John Sachs. I can't believe they made the girl. I mean, wonder who killed the girl, man? Someone just attacked her.
She's probably just
Jim Kelly's dead.
She's probably just fainted. I've not.
You think so? Fainted with her. She's just dead to me, man.
Well, no, she's dead, yeah, but I'm just saying in general. I mean, they weren't going to shoot a scene of her getting smacked about, you know what I mean?
Oh, they should have. That'd been classic. Damn, even some of the purple chicks, man, they screwed up there.
Yeah. Anyway, we're coming to the end of the commentary, and there's not much credits to talk over. So I think we should better round things up a bit. I think we mentioned just about everything. I'll tell you what I'm going to add. That bloody Robert Klaus Yul Brynner movie I was trying to think of in part one is called The Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it any better, but that's called The Ultimate Warrior. And the fucking Flash Gordon director is Mike Hodges. I was saying Mike Nichols, but it's Mike Hodges, the guy who did Get Carter.
Mike Nichols. Mike Nichols did the Robin Williams movie.
Graduate and stuff like that, man. But anyway, Hodges, British guy. Actually, the only thing he's ever done was Get Carter in 72 and then 71 and then Flash Gordon in 80 and then did nothing much in Krupier the year, but other than that. Anyway, famous scene. I remember all this because it always flicks the widescreen on the TV versions for the final sort of scroll down to the Barney Bear claw. And then you get a ridiculously small credits that you used to get in the 70s. Like these days you get a million people. I mean, can you imagine all the Hong Kong stuntmen? I mean, there was at least 500 cast members.
Oh yeah, there's so many guys that are not getting the credit they deserve, so you got the main people here.
Exactly. And even some of them get people like Pat Johnson getting credited over some of the other guys who did a lot more work. But anyway.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, like Jackie Chan, man. I mean, that guy did a lot more than Pat Jackson.
Exactly. Anyway, I think we'll just better round this off a bit, just in case. Basically, I'd like to thank everyone for listening. And this is the Jizzer signing off for City on Fire. And I'm with MDM, man, if he wants to finish off.
Yeah, thanks for listening to us, whoever did listen to this. And have a nice day.
Exactly. Thank you and good night.